Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this morning's session. It's a pleasure to introduce again Minister L.C. Birdwell, who is the founder of the New Creation Ministries, who will be performing the invocation this morning. Minister Birdwell attended Grace Christian Center Bible School in 1998, became a licensed minister in 2008 through the World Ministry Fellowship. Minister Birdwell, thank you for being with us. Please rise for this morning's invocation.
Good morning. Dear Father, thank you for being our most powerful source and for waking us up this morning in our right minds, giving us our health and our strength. We thank you that it was your desire that caused us to be alive today and allowed us to be present here at this moment to serve. We are so appreciative of your joy, peace, and hope that only you could give us. Your joy lifts us up when we're down. Your peace soothes us during trials and tribulations. And hope gives us strength in knowing that you are always there and will never leave us or forsake us. We know that your plan is best, so we thank you for this counsel and ask that they are obedient to your guidance and leadership. And when making decisions, we ask that they will do so with compassion and generosity, and that their purpose will be to benefit the people of our community and our city. We ask that you bless them with vision, courage, determination, and decency. In all things, we give you thanks in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Ms. Davis, would you lead us the pledge? Well, again, good morning, and welcome to this morning's session. The Mavs did well last night, so at least that's positive. We just need one more in San Antonio and come back here. But with that, can we go to our morning speakers?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Our morning speakers this morning are going to be Jeffrey Stiles, James Fortenberry, Wes Guillemot, and Michael King. While they are coming forward, let me recite the rules for speaking. Citizens and other visitors attending city council meetings shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the city council. Any person making personal, impertinent, profane, or vicious remarks or who becomes boisterous while addressing the city council or while attending the city council meeting shall be removed from the room if the sergeant at arms is so directed by the presiding officer. And the person shall be barred from further audience before the city council during that session of the city council. You each have 3 minutes to speak. When you see the amber light flashing, that means you have 30 seconds, and the red light means stop. Is Mr. Jeffrey Stiles present this morning? Okay. James Fortenberry? Okay. Wes Guillemot? I hope I'm pronouncing that last name correctly. Yes, please come forward, sir. You may begin.
Good morning. My name is Wes Guillemo. I'm the CEO of SourceCity.com Spend Reduction. We've been in business for 11 years. We're headquartered in the city of Dallas, and our purpose really is to help organizations save a great deal of money. I'm really here to thank the city for the opportunity to come in and pilot. Help the city pilot a reverse auction program to see, compared to the sealed bid process, that it would actually save the city more money. The good news is it worked, and it did. We were referred in by the mayor's office a few years ago, met with City Manager Mary Soom, who said that she would grant us the opportunity to run a pilot. And so in our first e-bid, we saved the city over $1.7 million, according to the results of the e-bid, over what the sealed bid process provided. The difference between a sealed bid and a reverse auction bid is pretty simple. The sealed bid allows a supplier to bid once blindly. The reverse auction process allows a supplier to bid to see when they've been outbid and bid many times, lowering their price again and again, providing the city of Dallas a much lower price. And that's how the city of Dallas saved over $1.7 million on the one bid that we've run so far. So excellent results for the bid process. This savings result is very, very exciting, especially in light of where the city's budget situation has been recently. We believe this is simply the tip of the iceberg. This $1.7 million is a small fraction of what the city could save on an annual basis. If we applied the same percentage that you saved on this one first bid to a third of the city's budget, we estimate that the city could save somewhere between $50 million to $100 million a year simply by employing this one difference instead of a sealed bid, allowing suppliers to compete more openly in a reverse auction. It's very, very phenomenal. When you compare the bid received through the sealed bid process when the city needed to rebid their motor repair, they ended up with only receiving bids from one supplier, and it was a $10.7 million bid. They asked Soar City to rebid this, and our bid came in with more suppliers at $4 million, a $6 million difference. So our message to the city really is that the reverse auction process works. We're very thankful for you guys that allowed us to do this. We would like to complete the e-bid pilot with two or three more bids, but we highly recommend that the city adopt and maybe even require that the reverse auction process be used on all bids over $100,000 in value. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Our final speaker this morning is Michael King.
Thank you, Ms. Watkins. Good morning, Mr. Mayor and the Council. As you've made your amendments to the CDBG funding from the presentation last week, have you taken consideration that funding the Southern Skate skating rink, that we can get $175,000 to fill in the gap for Southern Skates? I'm asking the Council to take that into consideration. Mr. Carraway and Ms. Hill, if y'all would make that happen, the community would certainly appreciate that. Also, the availability and disparity study. I spoke about this earlier. If we can still, when will be the time we will have an availability disparity study to fill in the gap? It's been 10 years. And I asked my Councilwoman Davis to find give answers to us. When will the next study be for the availability disparity study so we can see if the black community has got its fair share of public dollars as it relates to procurement construction? Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate you being with us. That concludes our morning speakers. The first item on the agenda is the minutes. Those are the minutes of the April 14th City Council meeting. Those have been distributed.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. There's a number of items that were requested to be pulled for individual consideration today. I'll go down through those. First, on the regular agenda, item number 8, Mr. Carraway has requested that be considered individually. Item number 14, Mr. Carraway has requested that be considered individually. Item, and then over on the addendum, items 1 through 4, I have requested that those be considered individually. Then we, in addition to that, have two conflicts of interest. Those items will be considered individually. That will be item number 15. Ms. Coop has a conflict on that, and I have a conflict on number 8 on the addendum, item 8 on the addendum. So the ones that we'll consider individually then will be number 8, number 14, number 15, and then over on the addendum, items 1 through 4, and item number 8. With that, if I could have a motion for the approval of the consent and the addenda. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, could you read into the record item number 8, please?
Yes, Mayor. Item 8 is a contract to replace the entrance doors at the African American Museum located at 3536 Grand Avenue.
Mr. Carraway, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Let me say this item is in Ms. Davis's district, the African American Museum. I want to thank Ms. Davis for her leadership, and there's still more work to be done, and certainly she's doing a tremendous job. So thank you, Ms. Davis. At the African American Museum, those doors, they do need to be replaced. There are some other things that we need to continue to take a look at. I did want to also take this opportunity for Dr. Robinson to announce the fact that he is having his rodeo on June 19th, and it's to benefit the African American Museum. So I just wanted to make that announcement. And at this time, I will certainly second Ms. Davis's motion to move approval of this item. Ms. Davis.
I move approval, please.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, item number 15, please.
Number 15, and Ms. Coop has a...
Ms. Coop, the record will show that Ms. Coop has excused herself from the chambers.
The item reads, an increase in the contract with Bar Contracting Services, LLC, for additional gabion slope protection and other associated items for the Trinity Standing Wave, located at 1900 East 8th Street.
Thank you. If I could have a motion on that, please. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Ms. Carraway, if you would take over for item number 8 on the addendum.
Madam Secretary.
Hold on one second, Mr. Mayor. There's a question.
All right.
Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Mayor Levitt has a conflict on which portion of which item?
This item is addendum 8.
No, we got that.
Mr. Mayor, there's a correction for the consent agenda. It's item number 50, and we have that recorded. Ms. Coop has a conflict, and it's not on the consent, so we're okay, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
All right. Mayor Leffert, you're leaving the room for conflict. Madam Secretary, if you would read into the record item number 8.
Mr. Mayor, there still continues to be some unready on the consent agenda. Mr. Atkins?
Not 15.
We have 50.
All right.
So, Mr. Mayor, we need to vote on item number 15 after we handle addendum item number 8 where the mayor has a conflict.
Absolutely. All right.
Okay.
So, Madam Secretary, if you
let me read
now,
that into the record, please.
All right.
Addendum item number 8. It's an ordinance abandoning portions of Crutcher and Pauline Streets to Baylor Healthcare System, the abutting owner, containing a total of approximately 32,273 square feet of land located near the intersection of Crutcher and Pauline Streets, authorizing the quit claim and providing for the dedication of approximately 32,273 square feet of land needed for street right-of-way.
All right, is there a motion for approval? Ms. Madrano.
Thank you. I'd like to move to approve item number 8, however, striking exhibit A and C and replacing them with the approved field notes dated on April the 5th, 2010.
Mr. Cadane, are you seconding that motion?
Aye.
Any other questions?
Yes.
Mr. Newman.
Ms. Madrano, what are the field notes you're referring to?
If you're
wanting to strike and then add?
Yes. City Attorney.
Ms. Attorney.
And I guess Teresa. Can you give us a detail on the striking and replacing them with field notes, please?
Yes, ma'am. They just submitted the incorrect field notes, okay. So we need to get a corrected document from them.
Okay.
It's just
swapping out the notes.
It's just swapping out the notes. Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any other concerns? All right, hearing none, Ms. Madrona made the motion. Ms. Cadane made the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Yes,
so moved. Madam Secretary, go back to number 15.
Item number 15 was previous. We haven't read that one into the record, Mr. Mayor, yet. So let me read item number 15 into the record. We voted on that item already, Mr. Mayor.
We voted on 15. 15 was already voted on. That was when you excused yourself, so we're fine.
Yes, you were.
Madam Secretary, would you read into the record items 1 through 4?
Ms. Coop said she didn't have a conflict on it.
And so she wants to vote on the item.
Okay. Let's go back to item number 15, if I could have a motion for reconsideration.
I move to reconsider.
Move to reconsider. Second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Mayor, there seems to be some unready for Council Member Atkins on the consent agenda item. Addendum number 7, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, just a second.
We got a motion.
We got the 1-5-0. Okay. Now we have a motion for reconsideration on 15. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. With that, if I could have a motion for approval of item 15.
1-5.
1-5. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Can I have a motion for reconsideration of addendum item number 7? Mr. Atkins has a conflict of interest on that we didn't recognize. Addendum 7. Ms. Margolin has moved it. Mr. Allen second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Madam Secretary, if you would read into the record addendum item number 7.
Yes, sir. Addendum item number 7 is authorized the preparation of plans for issuance in an amount not to exceed $450 million in Waterworks and Sewer System Revenue Refunding Fund, Series 2010.
Move approval.
It's been moved.
Second.
And seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. If you'd ask Mr. Atkins to rejoin us, please. Madam Secretary, if you read in the record items 1 through 4 on the addendum.
Items 1 through 4 on the addendum. Item 1 is the amendment to the Lovefield Food and Beverage Concession Contract with Dallas Lovefield Joint Venture, LTD, DLFJV, and 1 to extend the renewal terms, 2 to waive DLFJV's payment of the minimum annual guarantee and modify DLFJV's required percentage payment upon the first closure of one of the DLFJV's food and beverage location, and 3 provide certain terms under which DLFJV will be compensated by the Lovefield retail concessionaires for the retail concessionaires' right to sell bottled water at its news and gift store location at Dallas Lovefield. 2 is a 12-year contract with 1 3-year renewal option with Lovefield Partners, LTD, LFB, to operate a food and beverage concession at Dallas Lovefield. 3 is an amendment to the Lovefield retail concession contract with Hudson's Retail Dallas, J.B. Hudson, to 1, extend the renewal term, to 2, waive Hudson's payment of the minimum annual guarantee and modify Hudson's required percentage payment upon the first closure of one of Hudson's airside retail locations, and 3, provide certain terms under which Hudson will be allowed to sell bottled water at its news and gift store location at Dallas Lovefield. And 4 is a 12-year contract with 1 3-year renewal option with Hudson's Retail Dallas, J.B. Hudson, to operate a retail concession at Dallas Lovefield. Mr. Mayor, you...
Thank you very much. I believe I'll have a motion. Mr. Ntinsky, can I go to you first, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to make a couple comments here. In the last couple days, there's been a lot raised in the media, both printed and the internet and TV and radio about these particular issues, the concession renewal, extension of and process that we're going to use for the new Lovefield Terminal concessions. I guess I'm a little disappointed in a lot of the stories that I read because they seem to be painting the council and the process as one that was not deliberate, not one that was done in a good business-like way, and I have to say that I don't believe that anything could be further from the truth. This is a process that was not speeded along. It's been going on for about 3 years, about the last 18 months rather intensely. There's been a lot of staff time put into it. There's been a lot of council committee time put into it. But having said that I'm disappointed in what I read, I have to know that in my heart, we have been doing things in a very transparent and above board manner and trying to come up with a solution that is good for the city of Dallas and its citizens. And when I say good, coming from the private sector, you can't have a deal that's lopsided. It has to be good for both parties. So when I say that, at the end of the day, this has to be a good deal for the citizens of Dallas and for the city of Dallas, and it has to be good for the concessionaires. If they're put in a position where it's not good for them, it's not a good deal for the citizens of the city of Dallas. This is a very complicated issue. It can't be covered in a soundbite or a big 20-point headline. And what I'm going to suggest, Mr. Mayor, and I have talked to the mayor about this and a couple of my colleagues, I'm going to suggest that that the mayor put together a committee, that the committee do the following three things. Spend some time and put together the process, where we've been and how we got to where we are. Secondly, go over the specific issues. There's been a lot of rhetoric out there about different positions and how we got there. Articulate those things. And then three, see if there are any options, there's any tweaks, and so forth to that. I would like Mr. Mayor to have some members of the council on that committee. I think there needs to be a representative of Southwest Airlines. And most importantly, we've got to have representation from city staff. Mary Soom, and in particular, A.C. Gonzalez. I don't think there's anyone at the city that has put in more work to come forward with a proposal to this council that is fair to everyone and has been transparent and been an open process. And I think AC has done everything that was requested of him during that process. So I want to make it very clear that we've got city employees that have been working in the best interest of the city. And I think since no one knows this deal with quotation marks around it better than A.C. Gonzalez, I think it's important that he be one of those people sitting at the table. The goal would be to start meeting as quickly as possible, get these three issues taken care of, report back to the council in time for the council to take action no later than our June recess. I'm not going to pick a specific date because I think the sooner we can get it done, the better everybody will be. At the end of the day, we just want to make sure that we're making the right decision based on the right information and facts that have been given to us, and that also that the public, that the citizens understand what we're doing and how we got here and the decision that we're making, and not be misled by less than articles that maybe have not gotten into the depth of the issue. This is probably the biggest single contract that the city of Dallas will issue, the concessions at the Love Field. And the new Love Field terminal is going to be very, very important to the city of Dallas. The Wright Amendment is going to go away. That airport needs to be a representation of the city of Dallas. It's going to be one of our front doors. And I, for one, want it to be the best thing that we can possibly do. So with that, if you would let me, Mr. Mayor, let me turn it over to Ms. Medrano.
Medrano, please.
And I don't know if you need a motion or if we can just do
no,
this by...
Let me just go through comments.
Thank you.
Medrano, please.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Mr. Tatinski, for those fine points. I want to make sure that folks know that this is a complex issue, and our committee vetted all the issues very well. I want to give a special thanks to A.C. Gonzalez. We have recognized him in, you know, with our convention center hotel. We've trusted, you know, A.C. to vet and to answer and to make sure that our committee has gone through all the questions. So I want to thank him personally, and I'm sure that the committee thanks him as well. I want to make sure also that folks out in the audience and our citizens of Dallas know that we have local participation that have been recognized on a national level to giving the best service at the airport, and that it's going to give us the highest profit for our city with the least amount of risk. And I think that that's what that we all want here on the council. High profits, no risk to the city and to our citizens, with good quality service and local participation, while the airport is definitely in transition. So, Mr. Chinsky, thank you for bringing this up. I would love to serve on the committee. We've been on this transportation, and we have been discussing this issue probably about 2 years, but I know that AC has had it for almost a year. So, again, I want to thank AC for his hard work, and I don't want all his hard work not noticed, just to be taken to the wayside, but making sure that we have noticed his hard work, and it shouldn't be unrecognized. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you, Mayor. First of all, I just want to say that I sat on a transportation committee. In that transportation committee, we all agreed with AC at that particular time. Now, things have shifted as we've gone through this process, and I'm hoping that because of the shift, it is a fair process at this time. But because this is what we call politics, and I guess that's what we're playing at this point, politics. I would like to have AC to come up, and I have a couple questions I want to ask AC. AC, did the Papa Do's, did it go out to bid, Papa Do's?
Are you talking about, not at Love Field, if you're talking at DFW?
Uh-huh.
I'm really not that familiar with that situation.
Well, who would know?
I'm not sure if you know.
Too many
this
people.
This is DFW.
I'm asking one question. I don't want no tap dancing. Did Papa Do's go out for bid? Yes or no?
I would not be the person to answer that question.
Who would be that person?
Someone from DFW.
Okay. Did Papa Do's go out for bid?
I wouldn't know. Again, it would
take. Okay. Who could come down and tell me if Papa Do's went out for bid? And I need to know how many square feet did they get? Okay. And I want to know all the other contracts here in the city of Dallas that did not go out for bid.
We can see about getting that information to you.
Okay. I just have to believe at the end of the day that this is the right thing, what we're doing. I know in the city of Dallas that there is a lot of contracts that do not go out to bid at all in this city. And I know, AC, that at DFW, is everybody happy with the open bid process? Yes or no?
In the concession contract world at DFW, while I am not directly involved with DFW, I understand that there's differences of opinion about how effective or how fair those processes are. Other than just hearing those comments, both pro and con, I really can't speak to the specifics of DFW.
Okay. Now, Mr. Mayor, with this committee, what would be the effect of this committee, and what does this committee supposed to do at the end of the day?
Well, I think, as Mr. Natinsky articulated, it is, one, to review the process where we are today, the good work that's been done to this point. Two, look at what the issues are today, and three, come back with a recommendation to this council on where we should go.
And now that I'm asking a question, did Papa Do's go, and I know the answer. I'm just waiting for them to tell me. I know the answer because I've done my homework on it. Papa Do's, and I need for them to tell me, did Papa Do's go out for bid?
I think their hesitancy is that deal that you're talking about is not a deal that was at Love Airport. That was at another airport.
Jeff Airport.
Yeah, but these two individuals don't
I'm
have
saying,
any responsibility.
But it doesn't make any difference. It did not, for whatever reason. I need for them to give me that information back.
And I think it would. I don't think they have the information. We can certainly get you the information right. And in fact, I think one of the things this committee could do, if that's an issue, is look at DFW and what they do there. The lessons to be learned, lessons to be avoided.
In this here that I got, AC, that's the T, right?
Yes.
How many of these spaces would have gone out for bid?
I'm not sure that I can identify
it.
I understand that. If I could answer it just a little bit differently, approximately a third of the space for both the food and beverage and the retail would be going out for bid.
AC, please. This is what I got on my desk. I didn't get the you. This is on my desk. Of these teeth, how many of these spaces is going out for bid?
About a third of them.
A third of these spaces.
Yes.
So we are fair in this process by sending some of these out for bid. A third of them are going out for bid. So I think it is a fair process. Now, those vendors that have been there, if those vendors was not there, what would Lovefield look like right about now through the hard times?
We have maintained in our representations to the council that we are very...
And see, if those vendors that are there now was not there through the hard times, how would Lovefield look right about now? What position would we be in right now?
We would be in a difficult situation, but with one... Let me just say...
I'm asking a question.
And I'm trying to answer it.
I understand. If those vendors that's there now was not there through the hard time, how would Lovefield be today?
We would always be able to find vendors. Whether or not they would be as good as the ones that we have,
mm-hmm.
that's the question.
Mm-hmm.
We are very pleased with the performance of these operators.
Okay. Now, based on this, the location of the key, the nine spaces that would go out for bid, did you select these spaces?
We developed the space allocation based on conversations that we had with the city staff,
mm-hmm.
with our consultant, and with the operator.
Okay. So this is, I think, a fair process because a third, that's about nine spaces. Nine. And this is not a huge team here. This is a very small team. Nine spaces going out for bid. Nine. And we're saying the other vendors that's left over, so how many vendors would be left over after the nine go out of bid?
Well, there'd be two-thirds that is going to be for the incumbent.
Absolutely. And the two-thirds, of the two-thirds, you got nine. Nine, that's almost, we're rounding off to ten.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is left over of the few vendors that was already there that would be in that airport.
Mm-hmm.
Ten spaces going out to bid. And I think that's a fair process. Now, that would be an open bid process, would it not?
It would be a request for proposals for consideration.
Is that an open bid process?
It is an open bid process.
Yes, it is an open bid process. 10 spaces. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very much. Mr. Kelly, please.
Thank you, Mayor. And AC, if you could stay there for just a moment. You received accolades, and I want to make sure that you know and the staff knows of the team that's been working with you how I personally, but on behalf of the council, I know surely support and appreciate the work that you've done on this project. I want folks to understand that I listen to you, I believe in what your recommendations are, and I want the public to know that A.C. Gonzalez and team, you are just
on point. As Ms. Madrona said, from the convention center hotel to the other everyday business here at City Hall. And we would not be to this point without you and your hard work and commitment to getting us to this point. So I want to make that known. So thank you.
Thank you, but thank you for the team.
Yes, because we got one heck of a team.
Absolutely.
So I want you, because I'm going to do some other stuff. You better get out of the way, because there's no telling what might start flying around here. Let me just say, one, to this process of transparency. That's exactly what is going to take place. And I hate to say it now, because I think it has been transparent from the very beginning. Work has been done prior to even us getting here to this point. This has been a dream and a movement as relates to Love Field and trying to make sure that we stay on the competitive front edge across America as being the top airport. I want to commend all of the concessionaires for your commitment for standing through the tough times, hiring and having minorities already involved without the requirement of doing it, having partnerships in place, not coming together today for a second bite of the apple, but doing it the way it should have been done without any push for a contract or an opportunity. That too says a lot about the team that's already in place, because they've operated as a team and we've not been losing money at our airport. We've been making money. So the city has been on the front end of benefiting from the operators currently that are there. Now granted, the open process is something that here and through the media and through all of the different things that have taken place these last two or three days, they are all right. And at the end of the day, when you see the transparency and the cream still rises to the top, then we would have vetted out and answered those critics and concerns. It is nothing wrong with transparency. And I think that with this new committee that we're asking to be formulated, and Mayor, I would be asking for Councilman Atkins to be on the committee, Councilwoman Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Madrona to be on the committee, the Mayor to be on the committee, Rhonda Tinsky to be on the committee, Mary Thum and AC and Southwest. Now, let me publicly put that committee together and make that as a suggestion as to how we should move forward, so that when we come back and vote on this issue prior to us taking a leave in July, in which means that this will come back before us, Ms. Madrona, Mr. Natinsky, sometime in June or before, but certainly prior to July, for us to make the move. Mayor, I think that we now will have that transparency, and we will look like a city that can be seen through. But I want to make sure that folks know that that is something that's been already ongoing. I don't think there's been backdoor meetings. I want to make sure that folks understand that. One personal note I do want to say, Ms. Giddens, thank you for you and your team for being involved over the years. I want to say to a few other folks that I feel somewhat pushed, and it's okay for a push. I want local people that live in the city of Dallas to have a extra point, because one, I'm not going to be looking after just everybody in DeSoto. I'm not going to be looking at everybody in Frisco. I'm going to look after people that live in this city, and to make sure that they have an opportunity to reap the fruits of the labor here. And then to those that want to run people against us, and that's been said, and I'm the one to look you in the eye and tell you, put on your own shoes. I'm not going to be held hostage as to how we're going to go. It's going to be an even playing field here. I hate the fact that these evil things have taken place, but they have. But we will move forward in a very calm way. Run whoever you want to run. I got the messages through the community. And I'm not getting it from me behind your back. I'm looking you square in the eye. Square the shoe if it fits you. Now, what we will do now, I've had to get that out. And that's personal, and I meant it. We're going to have this process. We're going to do it right. We're going to continue to move forward. The mayor has made a great point. And I know the mayor loves this city. He wants transparency. And, Mayor, that's what we're going to do through your leadership and through this committee. But at the end of the day, when this is over in June, I want it to be over. I want us to move forward. And I want us to go to the next item that's on our agenda to continue to build a great city and to have a superior airport without the politics. I'm just going to have to stop for just a minute because I could go another 15 minutes, but I guess I'll rest and I'll pass it.
Thank you. Ms. Hoffman, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I guess as a new, as a freshman council member, when we voted for this item, 10 votes in the Transportation Committee to nothing, in agreement that this was a good contract, in agreement that AC and his staff had done the best job possible over a 3 or 4 year period. You know, when we move things forward from committee to council, that is the thing that we do as council people. We set policy. I have a concern that we have someone on this on the proposed committee that is not a policymaker, that's a representative from Southwest, so I would oppose that. Or if they want to be an ex officio member, I would agree there. So I guess looking at this as with fresh eyes, you know, that was the process that I thought we used on this council. I have nothing against anybody who is trying to bid on projects here, but I do have the greatest and utmost respect for all of those vendors who stuck with us through the hard times. And we're not just talking about 9/11. We're talking about the economy going down. We're talking about the recession. We're talking about people not flying in the last couple of years. So, you know, to me, as I said, I'm looking at it from the standpoint of a policymaker, and that, you know, this seems to be usurping our policymaking abilities. And so I want to go forward with this. I think we had a good, clean contract that was brought to the committee. There were no problems at that time, and all of a sudden people have problems with it now. So are we going to do this with every contract that comes through in a committee of the city council? The last thing I'd like to say is that I would like a copy of all the contracts that were not sent out for bid by the city. I know that our state fair contract continues after many, many years, and I don't know if other people have the ability to bid on that. I know that the zoo contract, did anybody else have the ability to bid on that? I'm not sure about those, but that's what my colleague is saying. So, you know, again, I'm looking at this through fresh eyes, and to me, you know, we were elected to be the policymakers, and we made policy as a committee, and, you know, I assume that it would come forward to city council. When you have 10 votes in a committee, that seems to me that everyone is in agreement with what the contract is. So I'm understanding this. I would like to move forward with it, have it done by June. But again, I have a problem with someone who is not a policymaker sitting on this committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Margolin, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I do not sit on the Transportation Committee, and so it came to me fresh when we were briefed on it. And I will say that my initial reaction was, why is so much preference being given to the incumbents? I understand that they went through 9/11. I understand that times have been tough, but that's part of what you take on when you go into business. a landlord doesn't necessarily have the obligation to repay a tenant because times have been tough. And I look at us as the equivalent of the landlord. If I own a shopping center and my leases expire, I have the right to go out and see what else is out there in the market, and I have the right to continue to look at my tenants. But in the end, I have to do what's best for my property. And as a city, we have not only the right, but the obligation to do what's best for Love Field. This process has to not only be fair, but appear fair. And I will tell you, as someone coming into the process, admittedly late, it doesn't appear fair. And so I will support the recommendation that Mr. Natinsky made. I think we've got to go through this process and present something that is fair and looks fair. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Atkins, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I guess I've been around aviation a long time. And when you negotiate something for 2 to 3 years and you wonder why you're sitting at the table to negotiate something for 2 or 3 years. And AC, I respect you. I think you did a great job. But I think the public needs to know that we just did not start negotiating this in the last 2 years. AC, before this baton was passed to you, did Ramon Migos start this negotiation about Love Field concession?
Yes. We had a portfolio change that I acquired aviation about 6 months ago. I was aware that there had been conversations with Ramon for over two years before that. There was a briefing to the Transportation Committee back in June of 07, which started the process of informing the council about some of those conversations, and it had taken place throughout that period with a number of different briefings to the committee, and I think in some cases the city council.
Okay. So would it be a first statement that when you start analyzing what would be the best deal for the city of Dallas, you have to do a whole lot of homework, and I believe you probably start with two bookends, you know, one here, and how do you work it together, and how do you massage that? Could you just tell me briefly, what did you see as the pros and the cons, how do you brought that together to the committee of transportation? Did you just follow the transportation recommendation, the council recommendation, you came back? Could you just give me just a brief scenario of that?
When I entered into the conversation about this contract, I had a sense that there was really some very different impressions on the council about how to proceed, as you said, from the two perspectives of having the current operators have the entirety of the new space, and then on the other side for having it completely bid out. What we sought to do is to create some balance that would take the advantages of both processes, of using the fact that we had very high-quality providers of service and include them into the planning for the new terminal, recognizing that they were going to have to go through a very disruptive, not renovation, but just complete new construction of the terminal space. And then to also have a competitive process that would test whether or not we were getting a good, fair proposal for, as we pointed out earlier, a third of the remaining space. So we brought that. We worked long and hard to see about getting that done with the operators involved, with some of the council members that had been working on it before my involvement. And we came up with what we thought was a good balance of both of those strategies.
Right. And I just want to say on record, we did hire a consultant, right?
Yes. Thank you for reminding me. Throughout the process, it was not just the if you will, the strategic approaches that we thought might have been the good ones to have. We were in constant working with our consultants who have experience throughout the United States in a number of airports they work in throughout the United States, and they were able to bring to the table best practices, approaches that have realized the greatest amount of income in these other airports that they have either worked directly with or know about through the their professional research.
And also, when we did hire the consultants, they did talk about rent. You know, our rent rate in Lovefield may be lower than the national, and you did put that in your negotiation that we need to increase our rent rate, the MAG. Could you just tell me what was the percentage that we need to increase that, and how we did the MAG, and how do we, as the city council, as now, brought it to us that we got a great deal on the table, and how did we just didn't come up with a number out of the hat. If we did RFP, we still would have put some kind of price structure up there to say how much the square foot is going to be, for the rent going to come in, and I just want to make sure we give to the public what you had to deal with, and how you brought that back to our committee, which I served on the Transportation Committee. I was not there a year ago, but I want to make sure the public know what step that we did as a city council.
Right. As you said, we did not depend on what the operators were telling us. We did not depend on our own analysis. We were looking to nationally recognized consultants to help us in presenting information as to what might be expected and what should we perform as a as an airport as it's related and compared to other airports around the country. That data was used as part of the projection of what performance we would be looking for with the kind of mix that was presented, as well as the standard industry rates, rental rates that are
set. When you said standard, the rates, would it be a fair statement that when the consultant came back to you, you was not really looking at the bench, the high rent? You know, some people said that you're a landlord, you want to know who paid me the high rent. Was the high rent a factor in that? Was something else was not a factor, just decided the high rent?
The consultant presented information at least two different briefings wherein they said that going after the highest rent was not the strategy that on the long term resulted in the most revenue for the airport. And there's a long conversation that goes along with it that I'm not going to get into.
I'm going to give them a short version.
But the short version is that if you have a high rent, it's great while times are good, but when the business cycle turns around and you have a downturn in the economy, then a lot of very negative things start to happen with regards to service that's provided and then your overall losing of market. And so they really thought that the approaches that other airports have used is setting a good standard rate that would be fair, but also on the long haul, return a good investment.
Okay, and the vendors were there back in 1996. Would it be the first statement for 1996 and 2010? Have there been a great improvement to Lovefield as concessionaires we are now?
They have been a quality provider of services, both of them.
And as a matter of fact, I saw the letter from Dan Weber back dated sometime in May of 2008 and said they have did a great job. So I want to put that on the record. My main concern is number one, Mayor, run with your motion, which you came out. I want to make sure that we are transparent what is going on and make sure the public know exactly what is going on. I don't feel like the newspaper or the private business tell the council what to do. I think we as council person, we should vote what we think is right. And I just want to get that out there. Number two, I feel like when you in a position doing hard times, you said 9/11, we just said a recession. Those are two key points. You know, they brought out 9/11, but we did not recognize the recession. We did have a recession. People took a big hit. By saying that, during construction period, if I was out there as a person who's going to bid on Love Field during construction, I would not bid. I would wait till after construction before I even turn a bid in. During the meantime, the people who's there during the construction is going to lose money. You don't know how much money they're going to lose, but they're going to lose money. And Mayor, I hope that the committees, what we're trying to do, that we would not put this out in the long term. You know, I hope we get it within 30 days, 60 days, or before June, before going to break, or whatever. But my main concern is that I don't feel like if we put an RFP out there today, are we going to get the best price? The price that we put out there on the RFP will dictate what we ask them to respond to. Is that a first thing? AC?
Yes.
So those numbers that we put out there would probably be some of the numbers that we already put on the table from the consultant. Is that a first statement?
I believe so.
So we're trying to balance this out. And I know the newspaper, the email, blast everybody getting, you know, see why we're here today, but we are here today. But I want to make sure we're transparent. I'm trying to make sure that we are not listening to the meeting. We're not listening to email. I'm not listening to it myself. I speak for myself. I want to do what's right. I have been in their shoes before. And I need to go into that. I've been in aviation a long period of time. I understand what hard time is and how to get there. And I want to make sure, AC, that you at the table during the negotiation all the time, because I think you did a great job. You did a great job on the hotel. And I think you're doing a great job in Love Field. I want you to continue to do a great job. You and your staff. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very much. Mr. Salazar, please.
Thank you, Mayor. And Ms. Atkins brought out some very great points. This has actually been on our plate for more than 3 years already. You know, I just question how the newspaper just missed it, since it's been on public agendas on and off for the last 3 years. In fact, we just had a brief, when was our last briefing to the full council on this issue?
March 10th.
March 3rd. Okay. And how many briefings have we done to economic development, transportation?
There's been approximately 9 to the committee.
Nine meetings to the committee, and that means at a minimum over a year's worth of meetings. I think it's just a red herring that's being thrown out there just to get people excited that City Hall is acting without thinking, that we're, you know, and in fact what the red herring is about is that they want to make people think that the council doesn't know what it's doing, that we're afraid just because it's in the paper that we haven't been doing anything, all of a sudden we're going to make a decision, when the opposite is true. The opposite is that we have been having meetings. I'm not on transportation, but I'm well informed of it because we've had briefings to the full council, even when we were discussing issues in hiring the consultant several years back. So, you know, I support having this committee. For the base reason that for people who weren't paid attention, just to catch up on all the work that's been done by the consultants, by our aviation staff, by our city manager staff, by the great work that was done by the Transportation Committee, the Super Committee, Mr. Natinsky's Committee, and Economic Development, this is an opportunity for them to see all the work that's been done and why today we had this recommendation on the agenda. And it's not something that came overnight. This is not something that was fast-tracked. As in other projects we have done in the past, we have fast-tracked it. This was not a fast-track. It was a very, very slow track. And you know, there's been ample opportunity. And for those that weren't able to keep up, you know, we'll certainly have the opportunity to review the information and to go over the documents that have been submitted to the different committees, and I think maybe that's a good thing. Now, you see, Ms. Davis asked, has there ever been, have we ever done no bids? I'm thinking that from my mind. I mean, I saw this letter from Southwest Airlines, you know, and I think Southwest is a great company. It's a great Dallas company. Under Chairman Kelleher, he did a fantastic job, but I'm just wondering, you know, but there are places where we know what we have is good, and we want to keep doing it.
And that may be good.
I mean, have we ever put Lovefield out for bid at all for airlines? I mean, you got to go back over 30 years. I mean, Southwest is a sole source. I mean, that's the only airline that's out. There's over 90% of the gate. You know, we have Continental, but the bottom line is they're a great company, and we want to continue doing business with Southwest. And here we have the opportunity to continue what was recommended by not council members but by the staff. And you know, sometimes we do things for the benefit of the city in spite of what somebody wants to write in a paper or what somebody who doesn't have the information wants to jump to conclusions. And so, you know, there's other examples of the city working in the best interest of the public to do what's not just what's right, but bottom line, the bottom dollar, what's good for the city. We have an airport that's not losing money. And, you know, and at the end of the day, we'll have even done better because we'll have one of the few airports, I would think, in the entire nation that has a minority vendor as a primary. And I would challenge you to show me another city, great city, like the size of the city of Dallas, I could say that they have a minority vendor who's actually doing a great job. And it's not there to say, give me a handout, to say, how can I help the city do a great job in reconstructing their airport to make Love Field one of the best airports in the entire nation. So I think the committee is good just to give people more information. But at the end of the day, we have over 3 years of work that we've already laid out here that to get us to this point. And I certainly hope that the committee has the opportunity to share that information with those who are interested now on the hard work that's been put into this proposal, and that moving forward is probably the best thing the city can do, and not send us back because to undo everything that we've worked for the last 3 years is to also throw an unknown factor, because even the economists are saying that our economy, while it's rebounding, is going to be slow. Customers are going to be slow to get back to where they were, you know, 3 years ago, 5 years ago. All the economists are saying it's going to take a while to get the confidence of the customers. So what it says is we have to make do right now, and if we have a bright light where you have vendors that can increase productivity 32%, then I think that's a positive thing that we need to look at seriously and to move this project forward when the time is appropriate. And thank you for doing a good job. I thank Ms. Soom for her hard work and keeping everyone at the same, all the eggs in the basket so it won't fall out and break. So thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Allen, please.
Absolutely. It's been going on for 3 years. It's been very transparent during that period of time. I think what we're asking and what we're seeing from Councilman Natinsky's recommendation, let's do it for another couple of months. Let's get us a committee together, make sure that we've dotted all the I's, crossed all the T's on this, and I don't see a problem with that at all. We've heard talks about hard times, good times, so on and so forth. That's true. Because there are hard times, there are cycles that we go through, and at the end of the day, it balances itself out. Let us not forget, during that period of time, Southwest Airlines did the same thing. They had the same cycles. They had the same challenges that 9/11 brought on. What a asset they are to this city. Look at the charity that they do. Look at the good that they do for this city. I think it would be extremely shallow-minded not to have them on this committee. As a business businessman, I will listen to another businessman, sometimes more so than I would a politician. So I would be in favor of making sure they're investing hundreds of millions of dollars. This is not citizens' money. This is Southwest Airlines stepping up the plate. I will be listening to what they have to say. On the committee, I will be in favor of that. I believe it to be a high-level committee. I would not be opposed to seeing if you had the chairman of the various committees that we have here at City Hall sitting in on the committee. That way, if we have a nice balance, and we can look at this. We're asking for just a short period of time. It's one of the largest contracts we're going to deal with. And again, I would love to see and would expect to see the major partner, Southwest Airlines, to have their input in this.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Ms. Hill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Gonzalez, thank you for all the work that you have done, the very exceptional work that you have done, making sure that you listened to all of the stakeholders and bringing forth a fair and equitable solution. What is fair is always determined in context. And what is fair in this situation is what you have brought forward. Mr. Gonzalez, as you know, I asked for the timeline. Since I have persons who believe this matter has been fast-tracked and not properly looked at, I wanted to make sure I had the dates. Although I have sat on transportation since I came on the council, I wanted to be sure I had the dates. The very first date was June 11th of 2007. The next date was in 2008, several dates in 2008, then 2009 and 2010. I'm not sure where the Dallas Morning News was during all of that time, but I am certain that the city secretary's office publicly posted each and every one of those meetings. I'm not sure where the gentleman who wrote the letter from Southwest was. Mm-hmm. However, I do believe that he was in the previous briefing, and I did not hear the words fast track coming out of his mouth at that time. The two operators who are there have admittedly done an excellent job. There has been the implication that the reason some of us voted for the very excellent solution that you proposed was because of political favoritism and contributions. I invite anyone who thinks that is true and all of the public to check my campaign finance report over the time that I have been on this council and have raised money. You will see that that is an absolute, total misrepresentation. The public should understand that no individual can contribute in any one cycle to a city council member more than $1,000. Unlike races such as the U.S. Senate, where there's an unlimited amount that can be contributed. In the city council races, individuals cannot contribute in any one cycle more than $1,000. $1,000 will not buy very many yard signs. I have raised well over $175,000. Anyone, everyone can check what a small amount of that money has come from either one of these concessionaires. Additionally, I have been in the presence of both of these concessionaires in context outside of the public forum. I have had the opportunity to be in Ms. Giddings' home in small private sessions, and at no time have had has been in the public where anyone, everyone who wanted to know what I was doing, what I was saying, was privy to that. If this were political favoritism, I probably would have known that my good friend, Congresswoman Johnson, was involved. I did not know that until the Dallas Morning News decided to claim that I was operating on political favoritism. That is not my modus operandi. And as Mr. Caraway spoke directly to those who have addressed him, allow me to speak directly to the editorial board of the Dallas Morning News and to editorial writer Mr. Stephen Blow and to anyone else who would imply that my support of your very fine solution was based on anything less than merit. Let me say to you clearly and directly, I have maintained a reputation of integrity, honesty, and character in this city ever since I set foot in this city on a gray, cloudy Saturday morning. No one can challenge my integrity or my character. And the things that have been said in the last few days both impinge upon my integrity and challenge and attack my character. That behavior by whomever is doing it and whoever supports or implies it is unacceptable behavior. It is not behavior that I will sit and silently tolerate. I have not done that in the past. I will not tolerate it now, and I will not tolerate it in the future. I have been blessed with the ability to read, think, and analyze. I do those things, and I think for myself. I do what is best for the people who elected me and for the city of Dallas. But if I disagree with anyone on an issue, that is neither a license nor permission to attack either my integrity or my character. And I reiterate, that is unacceptable conduct, and I will not silently tolerate it. Hear me clearly. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Mr. Newman, please.
Thank you, Mayor. AC, thank you and Dan for your efforts on this and other things that you do for the economic development umbrella for our city as well as for aviation efforts. Each Wednesday, we as a council sit in a public forum and we review tens, if not hundreds, of contracts. And the criteria that we as a council, as a public entity, we have standards as it relates to the bidding process, and we have a standard that citizens expect as it relates to this theory of transparency. I will support the suggestion for a subgroup, whether it be of this council or others, to participate in reviewing this. But my criteria as an independent city councilman, as it is for each week when I review the contracts that come before the council and come before me, is the bidding process. For me to support any arrangement that is anything other than a public bidding process, there must be a compelling public issue that says we need to divert from the normal bidding process. I'm open-minded, I'm willing to consider, but again, our responsibility to the taxpayers, to the citizens here, is to deliver clear the best services for our city. And again, my criteria is going to be it needs to be a compelling issue for us as a council to not use the public bidding process. I welcome this discussion. I'm going to continue to stay alerted on the issue, but it needs to be a compelling process, a compelling issue that citizens can say, yes, that's a good deal for our city. That's a good deal for me and you. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Davis, please.
Yes, Mayor. I would like to have Helen to come forward, please.
Mm-hmm.
Mayor, members of the council. Helen, when did you go into business?
I went into business, Ms. Davis, in 1988. As a matter of fact, I went into Lovefield, and my company, not in conjunction with anybody else, had the first gourmet coffee in any airport in Texas. We were in a partnership that had the first frozen yogurt of in any airport in the state. I did not come into this contract until much later, after it was bid. As a matter of fact, I did bid on this contract that started in 1996, and by that time, I was an elected official. But 15 folks sat around this horseshoe and chose someone else for that contract. I didn't raise hell. I'm an elected official. I believe that you have every right to make sure that everything is transparent, is above board, and that you exercise your best judgment in terms of what is best for this city. So I applaud you for doing that. You will never have any complaint from me about that. And let me just say, the only thing that I am concerned about here today, and I'm sorry, partners, because my partners didn't want me to speak, but as I told my partner, there are three things that are very important to me in my life: my creator, my family, and my reputation. And some of you on this council, most of you have not, but some of you on this council, I think, have contributed
to the
tarnishing of my reputation, and I don't appreciate it. Mr. Caraway, I thank you for what you said. Ms. Hill, I thank you for what you said. I thank most of you. Ms. Coop, I met you in the hallway this morning, and you volunteered, and I never lobbied you. Mayor, I happen to like you. You've been in my home for small dinners on two different occasions while this was going on. You and I discussed what we consider to be the concerns of this city. If I ever once mention this contract to you, then you should tell God and the whole world right now. Or you should then ask the morning news to cease and desist. And anybody else, if I have lobbied you, then you should say so, or you should insist that the morning news cease and desist. You can do whatever you want to do with this contract. What you cannot do, and what I will not allow anyone to do, is to tarnish my reputation. And what you have done to my reputation in this town, you can never clean that up. That stain will always be there. I have an impeccable reputation in this community. And if the morning news wanted to say that I was getting favored, then why did they not say I was getting that favor because I built the building that houses the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce? Why did they not say, you talked about charity, that I raised, that I headed the committee that raised $1.5 million for Paul Quinn? Why did they then not say that along with Bill Ashton, I raised $90,000 to put an old shotgun house in Old City Park that had nothing there that depicted black life? Why did they not say that I served on the Dallas Symphony Board, the second African-American to serve, and actually was head of their newspaper that nominated me and helped me get there? And I was there when we built the building. Why did they not say that I served on the grand jury in the city of Dallas? Why did they not say that I served on the State Bar Grievance Committee for 6 years? Why did they not say that I changed the grand jury system in Dallas? When I served on the grand jury, there was one grand jury that served 5 days a week from 8 in the morning till about 2 in the afternoon. That included most of the citizens of Dallas. I said that's wrong. I worked hard to make that change. Now I would keep you here all day long if I went on and on and on about my contributions in this city. And I don't think I get any special pat on the back for that. I'm not asking for anything for that. I love this city. This city has been good for me. It's been good for my family. And you know, when I came down here this morning, I was prepared to say some pretty tough things while my partners begged me not to. But see, my partners don't understand how I feel about my reputation. I was prepared to say some pretty tough times. I was prepared to say that Dallas was back to the days when we had the three slaves over on the grassy knoll. But you know what? After listening to you council members this morning, I don't feel that way. Because you have spoken out. You have spoken to the media. You have spoken the truth. And I just want to applaud you for giving me back faith and hope for a city that I love so very, very much. I could go on, but the only thing I want to say is that my integrity has been impugned for no particular reason. I have done nothing wrong. And I am sick and tired of reading in the Dallas Morning News my name, I'm involved in this corporation, and that I have done nothing wrong. That says to me that there are still people in this town, Mayor, we still have to work on that, who want to put parameters on people. And let me just be clear. I'm not a person who thinks in racial terms. I'm not a person, as you probably all know by now, that I don't even think in partisan terms, which is why I'm always in trouble. But we have to make sure that we do not allow the newspapers to lynch people in this town who have done nothing. We don't need to allow the newspaper to quote a part of the story from the Southwest Airlines letter and not the part that says we know of cases where negotiated contracts are better than those that are bid. Did you guys read that in the morning news this morning? You didn't see that in the article that came out. If you read the letter, it's there. They didn't mention the part where the guy from Southwest Airlines says that he preferred one food and beverage operator and one retail operator. He probably didn't put that in the paper because, you know, may I know you think that would be too. But the bottom line is, you, I hope, will continue to do what you're doing this morning, which is calling the media out when the media is wrong. And I personally want to thank A.C. Gonzalez and the city manager's staff, because let me tell you, he's one tough guy. He is one tough guy. And let me be clear, he has the city's interest at heart. Let me tell you one provision of that contract. A.C. says, yes, you can bid on the second piece of this contract, but if you bid $1.47 for the square footage that you have already, and then you bid $1.75 and you get the next bid, guess what? The piece that you got for $1.47, you're going to have to pay $1.75 for that. Do I think that's fair? No. But on balance, AC thinks it's fair. I've known AC for a number of years, and I know that he's taken a lot of heat on this thing, and I know from talking in the community that many of you, particularly those of you who are people of color, have been threatened, and you stood up to those threats. And again, partners, if y'all want to replace me in this deal, it's fine with me, because my reputation comes first. But you have, members of this council, helped to restore my faith and my hope this morning in a city that I love so very, very, very much, and I thank you.
Helen, I just want to say to you, thank you for all that you have done. I want to thank the Congresswoman Johnson, who have put lots of money. Mayor, have Congresswoman, how much money have Congresswoman Johnson given this city?
Millions.
Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. And Mayor, Helen, I just want to thank you for all that you have given this city. You have given the city of Dallas money. You have helped it find money. You have helped every committee person here, every council member on a committee, to find some type of money to help this city. But, you know, I'm outnumbered here, and when you're outnumbered, you just have to go with the majority. We got to go to a committee. And I guess today it would have been a 7-7 vote. So it means Miss Hunt is having her baby. And this is in her district, District 14. And I guess if she was here, it would have been 8-7. But now today it's going to be 7-7, so we don't have the vote. It would have been a split tie. But I'm outvoted. Somehow, Mr. Mayor, my friend, want it to go into committee with run support. And when we do committees, and I guess at the end of the day, Mayor, the committee is going to do what? Will we be for the existing vendors that's out there, or will we be in an open bid process? Now, Mr. Mayor, I'm asking because you is our mayor, that you would not sit on this committee. Because you support an open bid process. If it's going to be fair, Mayor, I would ask that you not sit on this particular committee, please. Let Linda Koop, who is our chair of transportation, oversee this committee. Linda, you're the chair of transportation. I'm on the transportation committee also. But Mayor, you can choose who you would like to be on this committee. Would you do that for me, sir? I'm just asking a question.
No, I'll come back and comment.
Okay. But Helen, you know, I really appreciate you. I know the paper can be hard. They've been hard on me also. And I understand. The paper sometimes can be your best friend and they can be your worst enemy. They can write the good on you and they can dog you out at the end of the day. And it's all about perception at the end of the day. So I just want to thank you, personally thank you, for all that you have done. And I hate that we're even at this point deciding, should we do bid or open bid? What's fair for the city of Dallas? When we and the people out in this audience who have just given so much of their time, so much of their time to this city. But, like I said, thank God it's not a strong man form of government.
Well, I thank you, Ms. Davis. And once again, I just want to tell you that whatever you decide about this contract is fine. And I leave here far more hopeful and far more optimistic than when I came in today. I really like what I see that you guys are made of. I really do. And frankly, I had some other remarks that I was going to make, but I'm proud to have you serve on this city council. Thank you.
Ms. Rackett, please.
Just a comment again, Mayor. You know, you look around, and Helen, and I really appreciate your courage to come down here, because I have been in your shoes before. I have been out there when everybody said that my name is Mud. And Danny Bruce, you said that there, you know what I'm talking about. But I proved them wrong. But to me, my name means more to me than anybody. If anybody says something bad about me, I want to fight.
If someone's going to threaten me, I want to stand up. And I'm saying this to Daniel Bruce because Daniel Bruce knows me. And Mary Sue and some of y'all council people know me. I'm very independent. But no one threatened me. And no one tell me what to do. And again, Helen, it took a whole lot of courage. And I was at the Dallas Morning News yesterday talking to Jim Rooney about the situation, about what's going on. If you're going to print something, print the whole story. Make sure you do your due diligence. And that's what I try to be doing in city council. That's why I spend 60 to 80 hours a week serving the public to make sure when I do say something, it is correct. I done did my homework. And that's what we all need to do as public servants. When we speak out, do our homework. And don't be scared of a campaign of what's going to be happening, what is politically correct. Because none of us sitting around a horseshoe is always politically correct. We are human beings. We make mistakes. They say we make a mistake and move on because we're not perfect. But as long as I sit in this seat as a representative of District 8, I'm going to do what is best for the city. And that's why I do this full time. This is the only job I do. I had no other investment in the city of Dallas. I took all my investment in the city of Dallas when I decided to serve as a public servant. And no one can mark me and tell me who paid me, who did not pay me. Because when I ran for council, I put six figures in my own campaign. I loaned my campaign on money. I'm blessed. But how dare anyone attack anyone in their character sitting around this horseshoe of public service? You do not know what we go through when we make decisions. No press, no private company, nobody dictates me. I want to make sure that perfectly, no one dictates me. I want to do what is best for the city first. That's my number one goal. If not, let someone else run against me and take me away from this race. Because I serve the public, and I will be here serving the public. Thank you.
Mr. Kidding, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Ms. Giddy, for your speech. I don't want you to take offense to this, but I'm sorry, I didn't know you were involved with them either for the longest time with that group. I did not know that either, what Ms. Hill said, that you were part of it. So I don't want you to, but I didn't know it either, and I think you have the highest integrity and character, and thank you for your representation to our state and city. But thank you very much. And I don't... Mr. Ronza, I'm telling you guys, you have done a great job where you're at, and nobody's questioning that. I think what's transpired, and I think what the public wants to see is let's look at the RFP, and that's the way we've always done it. This is a huge contract, and maybe let's go back, let's look at it, and let's do see if we can bid it out. I think that by what Mr. Natenzi suggested will do nothing but make what Mr. Gonzalez brought to us stronger, or else it will find something different. So I think it's a good thing to let's do it and let's get through it. But I think my constituents, I've had quite a few say, look, you need to be doing this. The RFP, it's a large contract. So let's have this meeting and let's get it done, and it'll either make it very strong and we'll come back with it, or we'll bid it. And I think you guys are going to still be there because of the process. So thank you for what you've done so far. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Kinski, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, after listening to everybody go around the horseshoe here, I just had to make a couple of additional comments. First of all, Ms. Giddings, I don't think you have to have any apologies to your partner sitting to, let's see, your left, nor your legal counsel to your right. I didn't see Mr. Ronquillo in any way squirming while you were down here at the podium. Yeah, okay. I could tell by the facial expressions that I think that they ought to be proud of what you came down here and put yourself in the public's light and said. You know, this has been a long process, as illustrated by several of my colleagues, from the beginning to where we are today. For me, it even winds back a little bit further, having been involved in the wind down of the Wright Amendment issue, and not realizing what I said at one meeting. Well, you know, if we're going to get rid of the Wright Amendment, we're going to really make Dallas Love Field be an airport that can connect us to the rest of the country and so forth. Are we going to do anything about getting rid of that circa 1960 terminal we've got? Maybe we ought to have a brand new terminal. So, you know, blame me or not, but anyway, you know, the fruition of getting a new terminal and having it be the front door of the city and something that we can be proud of includes having the concessions and all the other facilities that we need there. I just wish that the critics of this issue had spent as much time and put in as much hard work as some of us and eventually all of us have put in over the years on this issue. I think they might have recanted some of what they've said. But what's done is done, and we've got to move forward. The other point is that there's been sort of the intimation that this is just some public handout of a contract that just, you know, prints money. Nothing could be further from the truth. These are big contracts. There is the potential to make money in it. That's what makes America great, capitalism. But what has never been mentioned is the huge capital expense, both financially and emotionally and so forth, to put these concessions into place. These are commitments that are $10, $12 million commitments. The city's not funding that. These concessionaires or whoever wins this bid are the people who are going to take that money. They're going to borrow it. They're going to scrape it together from friends and relatives, however they get it, and they're going to put it at risk that they can make a profit operating the concessions at Love Field. And then the city is going to get their piece of the action out of that. So this is not in any way, no matter who wins, a handout. There are some huge, huge financial implications to this that come with it from the concessionaires. Lastly, I don't want Mr. Aranza to sit there and feel that he in any way was left out of his opportunity to come down to the podium. Now, Gilbert, I know you're a lawyer. I know you're rather verbose. While I was honored by a lot of the things that Ms. Gittings said, and I don't want in any way want to, you know, shorten your opportunity to come down here to the flashing light on the podium. But you know that last night I spoke to you about some issues on this, and then we had a brief exchange this morning, and I think it might be appropriate for you to come on down here because Ms. Gittings got her opportunity in the spotlight. So come on down here. We've got a proposal as to what we're going to do over the next couple months to move this thing forward, and I think it would be good for the public and the council to know that you're in support of what we're getting ready to do. You want to come on down here, Gilbert?
Well, I've been very appreciative of a lot of the words spoken around this council table. I have been incredibly disappointed with our media, the Dallas Morning News. I have been, it's beyond belief that they could print those types of articles without ever having certainly gotten into the details of the deal that A.C. Gonzalez and the city and members of the city council, along with the concessionaires out at the airport, we have all worked incredibly hard to make this happen. I understand the need at this point to prove that we have been incredibly transparent. As Ms. Hill pointed out, we have had at least 9 meetings, if not more, and from my perspective, with the city staff, to make sure that this is the best deal for the city of Dallas. I believe that what is on the agenda is the best deal for the city of Dallas. I am confident that when this committee completes its work, that will be the conclusion of the committee. I am disappointed, however, that I believe a member of this council, maybe more, gave rise to all of those articles. And I am disappointed that anyone on this council would behave in that manner. My staff is here. They're up there. We work very hard to deliver the best service possible to the citizens of the city of Dallas. We have done it. Didn't matter if 9/11 happened. It didn't matter if the recession happened. As a policy, we continue to provide the best service. We didn't cut one manager. We didn't cut one labor hour. It didn't matter if our revenues dropped almost 30% immediately after 9/11. This recession has cost us tremendously the past 2 years. Yet, we continue. My staff continues to provide this city and its citizens and all of those passengers at Dallas Love Field with the best service possible in this country. And we will continue to do it. And I look forward to the meeting in June when this council will approve all of the hard work of A.C. Gonzalez and his team. Thank you.
Thank you, Gilbert. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The telegate, state representative par excellence, citizen extraordinaire, from one strong, intelligent, attractive, vocal African-American woman to another. Thank you for what you do. Keep doing it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Gilbert, please.
Well said, Councilwoman Hill. Let me once again thank Representative Helen Giddens, and I want to today refer to just Ms. Giddens because of the business side of it. Let me again thank Mr. Gilbert and your team. I'd love for your partners of your team to please stand, Gilbert and your partners and your crew. Well, get the team up first, Danny and Ken, all of whoever's connected in that arena, so that the folks can actually see what has been taking place and who has been in charge of things at Love Field. It's very important to put a visual with the success that we're talking about. I don't think that one time that you probably Ms. Rent out there, I would imagine that you don't owe the city of Dallas. You are Ms. Giddens, and I think that probably rent was paid throughout the economic downturn and the 9/11 and when Southwest Airlines were flying fewer passengers, because I am one of the fewer passengers that happened not to partake in flying. I did it before 9/11 and sure doing it after 9/11. But at the same token, I just want to assure you all, and I want to thank Ms. Giddens again, because the words that you spoke were they needed to have been said and to have been heard. We needed to see another side of the representative so that folks can understand the plights, the problems, the hills, the valleys, and so that at one point in one day we will be able to enjoy the peak. And that is well taken and it was well presented. To Gilbert and your partners, let me just say something that Ms. Giddings had alluded to when she said she competed against and fought a contract in 1996. It was in the same arena, a day that I will never forget myself. I was not sitting on the city council on that day, but State Representative Barbara Mallory Caraway was sitting on the council during that time when Ms. Giddings' bid was up and a young man was bidding against Ms. Giddings. And I'd ask the two of you, if you wouldn't mind, to engage me, Ms. Giddens, to please stand. And Mr. Pace, if you would please stand. These were the two that were bidding, and Mr. Pace, who owns McDonald's,
won out the bid. And I wasn't at it day, Helen, when the vote went down. But the point that I'm making is that it's about expansion and certainly fair competition. And for you all to get to that point, certainly it was transparent. It was not just a happy day for one side, but it was a happier day for the other. But that's where we're going, and that's what we're trying to achieve. And now that you all are all working collectively as a team, that says a lot. That says a lot for the representatives. That says a lot for Mr. Pace. That says a lot for Mr. Bush. That says a lot for Mr. Aranda. I thank you all for being there. And one more note. This is something that, and I've asked the mayor, and I got to be on record with this one, Mayor. I said this to the council about J.C. DeCoe, the advertising agency. I have to put that on the record. Because now I don't recall them going out to a bid or however it is. And AC, I think you've heard me say that it's not going to be just a fair process for them to just, when we expand the airport, for them to just move all their signs over there. There's absolutely no minority participation in that arena. None. Not a partner, not a participant, nothing. And they've had it for years. And it has not been something that other folks ever had the opportunity to participate. So to the committee, I want to make sure that as we formulate and move forward, that we make sure that the advertising, for those that don't know about J.C. DeCoe, that's all of the advertising and stuff you see all on the walls and all of those millions of dollars that's being made that has not been discussed in this process, that too. Becomes a part of what we're talking about as we expand and renew and to give new opportunities to other folks to be able to fairly participate. Now, can someone tell how long have they had that contract? If you can tell me, Mr. Webb, I know you know that answer. That you just got that off the top of your head. It looks like you just want to tell me so quickly. J.C. DeCoe.
J.C. DeCoe won the last bid process, I believe it was 2008.
2008. Any minority partners in that company, to your knowledge?
They do have a joint venture partner. Yeah.
With who?
I don't recall the name off the top of my head. It's a woman-owned business.
Where is she located?
They have an office in Dallas. I believe she's based in Colorado.
Out of town.
Yes.
Yeah, Colorado.
But they have
out
a staff office in Dallas.
Yeah, no, out of town. So it's very, very important that we understand that the problem with this upcoming bid process, and the reason that I'm speaking locally, is for just that reason. Because I don't want a person from out of town to be a part of the proposal to make the paperwork look good. There is no participant here in this city that is participating or partaking or advancing a career or opportunity with that particular portion of an industry that's millions and millions and millions of dollars. Because really when you look at it, with me being in marketing and advertising, the sign, once it is printed and placed on the wall, it needs no more assistance. When the McDonald's closed down, you got to clean the grill and you got to clean up the grease and you got to restock things to make your money, and you got to hire people to do that. When that sign gets up on the wall, once they put it there, it's there, just minding its own business, making profit without a lot of attention on a daily basis. So certainly I want to make sure that we understand that as we move forward, that these type things also are placed equally on the table. And that no one from just out of town, because this is Dallas, Texas, and we first have a responsibility here not just keeping all of our citizens happy, clean, and safe, and as rich as they can be, but we have a responsibility to make sure that they have an opportunity to be a part of any economic growth that's available. And I want to see that. I'm going to stop. I want to thank you, Ms. Hill, for what you said. You're on point. I appreciate it. And mine is just not directed at all to the morning news. Me and the morning news, we're pretty much friends. We know one another quite well. Mine is directed to people. I want to make sure that people understand that people make news and people make waves and make problems for other people. And I take it very personal and very serious when people go and do things that hurt and harm other people. Because mind you, the information to the morning news would never had it had it not been for people. So it's not just them. It's the people that tittle-tattle over that create these unnecessary waves in what is a respectable or should be a respectable opportunity. So I won't go too far, so Mayor won't hit me and say something. I better stop right now. So, Mayor, it's almost your turn, but you go ahead.
Mr. Cooper,
thank you, Mayor. I'm not going to repeat all that's been said here today, just a couple of things. Ms. Giddings, thank you for coming down. I have so appreciated your willingness to be so open with the mic today, because it is very true that you've never said anything to me about any contract, and I've known you for several years, as a matter of fact, and even go down to the legislature occasionally on Dallas's behalf, and you've always, you're one of those people I dearly respect, because you always have the highest sense of value and propriety about you, so I so appreciate that you came down here today. Just a little bit about Love Field and the service at Love Field. Now, unlike Mr. Caraway, who's never out there because he doesn't like to fly, I'm out there all the time, and most of my colleagues realize it. I think I'm even on the A-list. I know I am on Southwest Airlines. I fly quite frequently. Our contractors out there do a wonderful job. Their service is great. It's very challenging. I mean, it's a very tight area. The whole system set up, you know, I'm really grateful that we're going to have a new terminal, or largely a new terminal, because the area out there is a very tight space. It's very challenging. There's lots and lots and lots of people, and to provide the services that y'all provide out there and do it, all of your providers out there, right down to just the salespeople as well, do an excellent job. They really do. They really do a wonderful job, and they do it in a quick and efficient way, and that's what, because of the turnarounds out there at Southwest, that's what people are expecting. So just to make sure that the public realizes, and I'm sure they do, or we wouldn't have won the J.D. Powers Award for a terrific airport, and I think they do realize that. I guess we will send it on to the committee. I thank the Transportation Committee, especially AC, for their years of service and looking at the contract, looking at the proposal. And I think there was due diligence done there, but, you know, we are where we are today, and we're just going to move on. And I think maybe, I don't know, Mayor, what the protocol is going to be for a motion, or if it's just going to be
kind of fight on anymore.
But thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Coop. This is clearly a difficult and it's a complex issue. I want to say a special thanks to all the people that have been involved, to the people that have had worked with us on the negotiations, all of you, many of you, I know. Thank you very much for the hard work that you've all put in. That's, I can tell you, very much appreciated. To all of the people on the council that put in time and effort on this and put in not just the time but good thoughts and that, thank you very much for what you've done. And a special thanks to the staff. I know the staff has worked very hard on that. I also want to say a special thanks to Helen and some of the other folks that have come down today. I can tell you I've worked with Helen in a lot of different environments and on a lot of different issues, and I've always found her to be of the highest integrity and always very professional, and I communicated that to her yesterday. And we appreciate everything that you do for the city and for the state, as well as everybody else that's been involved in this. If this was simply an issue that was a people issue or rewarding people in the past, I think it'd be a very simple issue. As I said, we've got people that I know, and I'm very appreciative of all the work that they've done in the past. and if it was simply working with these people, that'd be a very simple situation. Unfortunately, I think it's a lot more than that. I think in our positions, we've got the responsibility, special fiduciary responsibilities, to make sure that we're cutting a business deal. A business deal that, to be truthful with you, is devoid of a lot of emotions at times. But one where we represent all the people of our city and ensure that indeed that we get the best deal. Public entities, rightfully or wrongly, are different. That's why you see, not only at the local level, but the state level and the federal level, a strong preponderance for bidding things out to ensure that we can look at our citizens and say that we've got the best deal. But it hasn't been a negotiation. I can tell you there's contracts that have come through, or I'll bet an individual could have negotiated a better situation. But the perception is so important, because that perception drives the credibility. That credibility drives the confidence. And in that confidence, it doesn't matter if it's a city, if it's a business, whatever entity it is. And that's the fundamental issue that I think that we've got to deal with. It is a fiduciary responsibility. It's ensuring that going forward, with all the appreciation of the hard work in the past, but going forward, that we are cutting the best business deal that we absolutely can for the people of the city. And I can tell you it's an important issue. Yesterday I met with a company that we hope will relocate to Dallas. We need to make sure that we've got an environment where people have confidence. And they have confidence in what we're doing. I will tell you, that is the only issue. It doesn't make a difference to me who gets the deal. It shouldn't make a difference to any of us who gets the deal. It ought to simply be, if we can look at our taxpayers, say that's the best deal, and ensure that indeed we've done a fair process, we've asked for other alternatives, those alternatives have been on the table. And that's what it comes down to. As I said, it's not a people issue. And if anybody throws people into it, they shouldn't. In all the conversations I've had, I've been very clear. Our goal is to be transparent and is to ensure that we have a process that is bid, that we've got an opportunity to ensure that we've done the best for our citizens going forward. That's not always the easiest position to be in, but it's the one that unfortunately we need to take. It's the fiduciary responsibility and obligation that we have. I think that it does make sense to have this committee. To go ahead and, as Mr. Nkinski said, say, number one, what's the process? Let's make sure that we understand that. If we need to educate people, then we should do that. Number two, what are the issues that have come to light? What are the issues that we need to consider? And three, if there's options, alternatives to go forward, then we should. I would ask Mr. Nkinski and Ms. Medrano to co-chair this. Both of you have shown great leadership on this as well as other issues. Mr. Atkins, I would ask your involvement in it too. Ms. Margolin, I would ask you to be involved. I will be involved as was requested by other individuals on this council. I think it's important to have the staff represented. And that needs to be at the highest level. And Mary, that is you, and it's Mr. Gonzalez. And then I think it's also important to have Southwest, Ms. Hospital, I think your comments are appropriate. They should be in an ex officio position. But nevertheless, they should be at the table because there's a big one. We're clearly going to visit on this again. We'll come back in that time frame that hopefully will give us a chance to go through those three different elements. Again, we need to come up with something where hopefully we can all feel good about it. We can all feel that we've got a process that we can look our taxpayers, our citizens in the eye and say that we've done the right thing. So with that, Madam Secretary, if you would, please go to item number 49, please. Thank you very much. We're done. We'll come back to it. We'll come back to this issue. We'll come back and see.
Are we going to vote on it?
Pardon me?
Are we going to vote?
I think it's just the consensus. If it's the consensus, we'll just go forward.
Well, I'd like to call for a vote, please.
I'd be happy to take a motion if you want to make a motion.
I would like a motion that we vote on a committee.
Okay.
For the mayor's recommendation.
Okay. Moved. Is there a second? All those in favor?
I want to vote.
Sure.
Just like the amendment to bring this back in June for our
and I should have said that, Mr. Salazar, I apologize, with the idea of coming back before we complete insurance. Was that the request to be reconciled?
The motion on the floor is to vote on accepting the recommendation to the mayor to appoint an ad hoc committee.
As I articulate
it. Mayor, in question.
Is
this in lieu of the council acting on 1 through 4 in the agenda?
It is. So this, in effect, it will be a deferral of 1 through 4, and there will be...
The motion that I want is to defer this item. Is there a date that... Did you set a date?
Yes, by the end of June.
By the end of June.
Yes. And so that's all captured in what I said.
So, Mr. Mayor, to clarify the motion is to defer the item and appoint an ad hoc committee?
Yes, that has the responsibility, and has the responsibility of coming back by the end of June.
And coming back by the end of June. Okay.
And the last meeting is the 23rd, to be specific.
Yes. Okay.
Ms. Hoxo, have you voted on the motion?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Mayor, all have voted on the motion.
Thank you.
Voting in favor to defer the item and appoint an ad hoc committee, Mayor Leffert, Mayor Pro Tem Caraway, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Madrono, Council Members Cadet, Newman, Coop, Natinsky, Salazar, Atkins, Hasso, Margolin, and Allen. Voting no, Council Member Hill and Council Member Davis. Council Member Hunt is absent. Motion passes to defer, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. With that, Madam Secretary, if you could read in number 49 in the record, please, we'll proceed with that.
Item 49 is consideration of appointments to board and commissions and the evaluation and duties of board and commission members. You have several nominees of individual appointments. First, for the Judicial Nominating Commission, Andrew Newman, being nominated by Councilmember Newman, and Teresa Guerrero Nelson being nominated by Councilmember Allen. For the full council nominees, Hilda Ramirez Duet being nominated by Council Member Hasso, a reinvestment zone A Board Design District, Leslie DeCelio being nominated by Council Member Coop, and for the reinvestment 14 Board, Skillman Carter, Marcus Valerian being nominated by Council Member Cadane. All meet qualifications for service, Mr. Mayor.
Appreciate it. It's been moved and seconded by Mr. Allen. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, could you read number 50 in? Ms. Coop, I believe you have a conflict of interest on this.
50?
Yep. Regular show that Ms. Coop has excused herself from the chambers.
Item 50 is supplemental agreement number 1 to the professional services contract with PB Americas Incorporated, doing business as Parson Brickerhoff Americas Incorporated, for additional survey services for Irvin Boulevard.
It's been moved by Mr. Salazar, seconded by Mr. Natinsky. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered.
Mr. Mayor, I think that the staff is indicating that, did we vote on item number 14? 14. Which is the contract for the installation of additional playground equipment connecting walkway and site furnishings.
Let's go to that. If we miss that, we'll go to that.
Okay. And that's the item. Already.
Please. Motion then on number 14? 14-1-4. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered.
That's motion.
Then let's go to item 51, and items 51 through 59 will require 2 seconds.
Okay. Item 51.
And then, would you ask Ms. Coop to return to please?
Item 51 is authorized in Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant Agreement pursuant to the Public-Private Partnership Program with Interstate Battery System International Incorporated and its subsidiaries in an amount not up to $300,000 to offset development costs associated with its headquarters expansion and retention, located 12770 Merritt Drive.
Well, why don't you go ahead and we'll just jump to 52. We'll
okay,
come back
52
to
is an economic development grant agreement pursuant to Chapter 380 of the Local Government Code. with America's Table Park Group, LLC, to support the development of the Dallas Water Sports Complex at Fish Trap Lake in West Dallas.
Mr. Davis, please.
Mayor, this is a great opportunity for redevelopment within West Dallas, within the DHA property. There is an informal relationship with the Trinity Trust, Trinity River Corridor Project, as an offshoot, so I'm excited about this. This particular private developer is putting almost $2 million in play here, and so I move approval.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. There are 2 seconds, Ms. Hill and Mr. Atkins. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Let's go back to 51. Ms. Coop, do you want to make a comment on 51?
Thank you, Mayor. A wonderful business. As a matter of fact, in my district, I certainly move approval of the item to stay here in Dallas, and they've got they've met all the criteria that the Economic Development Department sets forth, and it's a retention project, plus they're going to add, I think it was 100 new jobs, and so we're really very fortunate. There's a long-time business in the city of Dallas. I don't know if anybody's here from that operation today, but we're looking forward to keeping them in the city. So I move approval, Mayor.
It's been seconded by Mr. Cadena. Mr. Tinsky,
I'll just make a comment that this was received unanimous recommendation from the Economic Development Committee, and I think this is just another example of where when our Economic Development Department and our staff does the right job, they find companies that are well worthy of us retaining in Dallas, not only retaining but adding to their staffing, providing more jobs and to our economic tax base. And this is a lot better deal for us than having to go outside the city and go find somebody from Kansas and drag them down here. So with that, I'll certainly be supporting it.
Thank you. Ms. Margolin, please.
Thank you. You know, I sometimes have concerns with this kind of a proposal, but I spoke yesterday at length with Hammond Perot, and I am really convinced that with the addition of jobs, $4 million investment in infrastructure, I think it's over $2 million in personal business property, that the city will more than be paid back. And so in this case, I think it's a very good deal.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All those papers signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Order, Madam Secretary.
Item 53 is a development agreement with Oak Creek Partners, LTD, to provide funding for construction of the following public improvements. A is the extension of Noble Avenue from City Place West Boulevard to Blackburn Street. B, extension of Oak Grove Avenue from City Place West Boulevard to Blackburn Street. C is the extension of Howell Street from Lemon Avenue to City Place West Boulevard, and D is construction of 3 open spaces, and E is related to design and construction management services, and 2, the City Place Area TIF District Board of Directors to dedicate up to $12 million from City Place Area TIF District Fund and our Tax Increment Bond Fund payable as work progresses in accordance with the development agreement not to exceed $12 million. You want me to do 54 too, Mayor?
Please.
Because they combine.
Yeah, please.
A resolution declaring the intent of Tax Increment Financing District Reinvestment Zone Number 2 to pay Oak Creek Partners LTD up to $12 million in project costs for the following public improvements. A, extension of the Noble Avenue from City Place West Boulevard to Blackburn Street, and B, extension of Oak Grove Avenue from City Place West Boulevard to Blackburn Street, and C, extension of Howell Street from Lemon Avenue to City Place West Boulevard, and D, construction of 3 open spaces, and E, related design and construction management services.
It's been moved and seconded by Mr. Salazar and by Mr. Atkins the second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Or Madam Secretary, 55 and 56, please.
55 and 56 is related to David Garden TIF District, and it's 1, in develop agreement with GFD Opportunities 2 LLC to dedicate future TIF revenues to eligible project costs related to environmental remediation, infrastructure, and public right-of-way improvements located at 4512 West Davis Street in Tax Increment Financing Reinvestment Zone Number 16 and to the Davis Garden Tiff District Board of Directors to dedicate up to $1,600,000 from future Davis Garden Tiff District revenues in accordance with the development agreement. And 56 is a resolution declaring the intent of the tax increment finance and reinvestment zone number 16 to reimburse GSD Opportunities 2 LLC up to $1,600,000 for certain TIF eligible project costs related to environmental remediation, infrastructure, and public right-of-way improvements at 4512 West Davis Street in Davis Garden TIF District.
Mr. Newman, please.
Mayor, thank you. First thing I want to make sure that we publicly disclose, this reference is 4512 West Davis, and it is the correct address, but it's not correct. In other words, it's the correct address on the current DCAT and platting. Once this property gets replatted as the development, it'll be Pinnacle Parkway. And so it threw me for a loop when I originally got that. So it's really not on Davis, per se. This is part and parcel with the urban campus, which is being renamed the Canyon in Oak Cliff, 215-acre project, property being developed at Westmoreland and I-30. Ms. Coop and I are working with COG and RTC and TxDOT for the frontage road. A lot of this is old news, but this is all incremental components of this key redevelopment area for Oak Cliff. So I'm excited about it. I've had discussions at length with economic development in order to make sure that we as a city and taxpayers get our bang for our buck for this $1.6 million of public infrastructure improvements along here, and I'm excited about this. So, Mayor, I move approval.
And Mr. Kadena and Mr. Nijinsky both seconded that. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed to Order 57 now?
57 is the reconstruction on site of two homes in accordance with the Reconstruction Share Program statement requirements for the properties located at 2220 Jordan Street in the amount of $93,400 and 12511 Fish Road in the amount of
$93,400. Mayor, I move for approval.
Ms. Davis, thank you. It's been seconded by Mr. Caraway and Mr. Atkins. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Next picture.
Authorize an amendment to resolution number 092085, previously approved on August 26, 2009, to increase the loan amount by $500,000 on an existing economic development loan with South Dallas Fair Park Inner City Community Development Corporation for the acquisition of approved and unapproved properties located within the Fraser Neighborhood Investment Program area, including associating closing costs, relocation, environmental remediation, or demolition costs for the purpose of constructing residential, retail, commercial, or mixed-use redevelopment as part of the economic development plan for the Fraser area.
Mayor, I would like to have Jerry, can you come up and talk a little about the 58, item 58, please? I just want my colleagues to know what we plan to do in that area. Can you just kind of just give us a brief of what we plan to do in that area?
Yes, this is another redevelopment area similar to what we're doing down in the Bear Street area and in two other areas that we're concentrating on, where we're acquiring land and redeveloping that area of several blocks into mixed-use, mixed-income redevelopment that would include retail, multifamily housing on top of the retail, some office space / retail, along with the continuation of the single family development across the street.
And thank you. And Mayor, if any of my colleagues would like to go down there and see, it looks totally different down there. We demolished a lot of those vacant buildings that was on Spring Avenue or down from the Baylor Diabetes Center. We now all ICDC has purchased a store behind the land acquisition, working with the city of Dallas. We're going to tear that down, and so that whole corner will be all retail, new development. Sure. And so it's really pleasing to the eyes to see how that area is looking now. Just put the vacant buildings gone. So I move for approval.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Ms. Hill and Mr. Atkins, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Sounds like a worthy notation to me. It does beg the question, though, how is this different than any other day, but I'll let that slide. To my colleagues, one of the great advantages over our seating arrangement is, given the speed of sound, I get a chance to listen to Mr. Carraway and hear him before any of you, simply because I'm closest. The other advantage is, or disadvantage is, I get to see the increasing amount of gray hair that Mr. Carraway is sporting. Now, that must mean that the years are progressing. Is that true, Mr. Carraway? And does that mean that perhaps there's a special occasion for us to hit? Ms. Kinane, are you ready? Happy birthday to you.
Thank you all so very much, and let me tell you that...
this is why I did it, Mr. Atkins. We have one more item. So yes. Therefore, we can't have speeches. We have to finish our item. So you can see, I was thinking through that in advance. You thought that I had forgot that one. Not true. Not true. I needed to rush to the Madam Secretary.
Madam Secretary, go
ahead. Item 59. Authorized acquisition, including the exercise of the right of eminent domain, if such becomes necessary, from Lexington State, Thomas, LLC, of approximately 100 square feet of land located near the intersection of State and Worthington Streets for the State Thomas TIF Infrastructure Improvement Project.
Motion, please.
Move approval.
It's been moved and seconded by a lot of folks.
Oh, okay.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? We'll be in recess, no executive session today, but we'll be in recess until 1 o'clock, so we'll come back at 1 o'clock. Thanks, everyone. Let's reconvene our afternoon session. We'll go to the zoning agenda in just a moment, but we do have one speaker from this morning. It was on the consent agenda, but I would like to invite her, if she would like to address those items, to do that at this time. It's 9, 10, and 11. Madam Secretary?
Yes, Ms. Tina Trench. You want to come down at this time?
Yes.
You're okay? You don't...
No, I don't.
Okay. Okay. We wanted to be sure that you were heard by the calendar. Okay. Mr. Mayor, she does not want to speak at this time.
Okay. On the zoning agenda, then, for our consent portion, item number 60, Mr. Carraway is... request that be considered individually. If I could have a motion for 61, 62, and 67 after those have been read into the record, please.
Okay. Item number 62, Mayor, appears to be an individual item, so we just have item 61 and 67.
Okay.
A public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting an amendment to an expansion of Plan Development District Number 314, the Preston Center Special Purpose District on property zoned a multifamily district on the southeast corner of Weldon Howell Parkway and Douglas Avenue. And item 67 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding consideration of amendments to Chapter 51 and Chapter 51A of the Dallas Development Code to amend Section 51.4.305 and Section 51A.4305 handicap parking regulations to require compliance with all federal and state requirements. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on item 61 or item 67? You can come down now and speak to the council on those two items. Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Margolin, please. Do you have a comment?
I have a motion to approve.
Motion is made. Mr. Newman seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. With that, Madam Secretary, why don't we move to item number 60, if you'll read that in the record, please.
Okay.
60.
A public hearing to receive comments regarding application for and an ordinance granting a planned development district for a public school, single-family district uses on property zone single-family district and a specific use permit number 173 for the Veterans Hospital on the northeast corner of Lancaster Avenue, north of 52nd Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 114 notices to property owners and 512 requests, received 11 replies in favor, 75 in opposition.
Thank you. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Planning Commission? Anyone that would like to speak in favor? Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, I move that the public hearing be closed and that item number 6 be approved in accordance with the recommendation of the City Planning Commission.
It's been moved and seconded. Mr. Sherwood, do you have a comment?
Do you want me to go on to another item?
No, I have no.
Thank you. Then moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed to order? Madam Secretary, item number 62, please.
62 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an industrial, not potentially incompatible use for a concrete batch plan on property zoned in Industrial Research District on the north line of Commerce Street west of Sylvan Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 16 notices to property owners and insurance through their request. We received no replies in favor and 3 replies in opposition. We require a civil majority to approve this.
Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission? Anyone that would like to speak in favor? Please come down and state your name and address for the record.
Jimmy Schnurr, 3400 Carlisle Street, Dallas, Texas. I'm here on behalf of the applicants, and we're here to answer any questions. We're in agreement with the recommendation for approval for a 5-year period.
Great. We appreciate you being here.
Mr. Mayor, I move that the public hearing be closed as that the item be approved by the council, of course, with the city plan commission.
Second. Been moved and seconded. All those in favor, say, Mr. Kinnane, please. No, I think the question is, which of the recommendations?
The one of the 5-year recommendation.
Oh, the staff recommendation.
The staff recommendation, 5 years.
Okay, thank you.
Now, appreciate you catching
it. It's a 5-year recommendation.
Got it.
Yep. That's what I'm talking about.
Perfect.
Okay.
Appreciate you picking it.
Thank you, Mr.
So it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, 63, and that will require a 3/4 vote.
A public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for an ordinance granting a community retail district on property zone, a single-family district, on a parcel with frontage on both the south line of Interstate 20 and on the north line of Riley Crest Road, west of Siegelville Road.
Mr. Mayor, we said 16 notices to property owners within 300 feet of their request. Received 4 replies in favor and no replies in opposition. However, due to denial by the City Planning Commission, will require a favor vote of 3/4 City Council to approve this case.
Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition of the City Planning Commission's recommendation, which is to deny the approval? Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition? Anyone would like to speak in favor of the city plan's recommendation to deny?
So that would be against the project.
Exactly. Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Ms. Hackett?
Thank you, Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and approve the change in zoning from R10A to CR and self to deed restriction proposed by the applicant with the ordinance and deed restriction to come back for council approval on a future agenda.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Let the record show there are no objections, no 12 individual zoning sessions recorded.
Yes, sir.
Madam Secretary, item 64, please.
Item 64 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a planned development sub-district for MF uses within Plan Development District Number 193, the Oakland Special Purpose District, on property zone, a multifamily subdistrict with Plan Development District 193 on both sides of Hucknall Street, between Cedar Springs Road and Rollins Street. Mr. Mayor, we have two speakers that have signed up to speak. Josephine Ayala? Ayala? Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
We did send 224 notices to property owners within 500 feet of their request. We received 29 replies in favor and 8 replies in opposition. Due to the size and the density of this request, it is a designated zoning case, but would require a majority of the
Josephina Ayala? Manuel Ayala? Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission on item number 64? Is there anyone that would like to speak in favor of the recommendation of the City Plan Commission? Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Mayor, Ms. Medrano is temporarily absent from the chamber. I believe she is engaged in a conference call and ask that I move approval of this item. Close the public hearing and move approval of this item.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary?
Item 65 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a planned development district for a public school other than an open enrollment charter school and a single-family district uses on property zone, a single-family district in an area generally bound by Chariot Drive, Wilmington Way, Forney Road, and Lomax Drive.
Mr. Mayor, within 282 notices, property owners within 500 feet of their request received 19 replies in favor and 16 replies in opposition. This will require a majority for approval. It is a designated zoning case.
Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission? Anyone that would like to speak in favor? Mr. Mayor?
Can I have a motion on this item?
So moved.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed to order? Madam Secretary, 66.
A public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a mixed-use district and a resolution granting deed restriction volunteered by the applicant on property zone and industrial research district on property within the northeast and southeast quadrant of Keith Boulevard and Sutherland Avenue. Mr. Mayor, you have two speakers that have signed up, Melvin Traylor and Michael King.
Mr. Mayor, we did send out 28 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the air request. We received 7 replies in favor and 2 replies in opposition. It requires a simple majority to approve. It is a designated zoning case.
Mr. Traylor, you want to come forward at this time? Mr. Mayor, is it 3 minutes on the public hearing?
3 minutes.
You have 3 minutes to speak, sir.
Good afternoon. I'm Melvin J. Traylor, and I am residing. I live at 2945 King Cole Circle, Dallas, Texas, 75216, phone number 214-376-9673. The Honorable Mayor Leppard, Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Carraway, and Councilwoman Davis, and other distinguished council persons, we are here to in support of the item listed number 66 on the agenda in terms of the Wonderview project by the Mark Cuban franchise, as well as the program that's going to be developing in that particular area. We want to encourage that you follow the CPC recommendation and approval for this particular project because we feel that it is a very, very needed program in that particular area. I'm representing, of course, the Cedar Crest Magna Vista Homeowners Association, along with the other delegates, Mr. Fisher, Dwayne Traylor, and I think Mr. King is here as well. We want to be sure we go on record saying that we overwhelmingly approve this particular project and encourage you to vote affirmative. This is a well-needed program. We've been in that area for about 40 years. We built our homes there about 40 years. We've been wandering around in that area. And for the last 40 years, nothing has been happening. So now, all of a sudden, we have a good program coming on, so we want to be sure that you vote in affirmative for this particular project. However, we do have, having said all of that, we do have 3 concerns that we want to bring forth to the council today. And one has to do with whenever we get started. And before I mention that, we want to say thanks to Joe Carbonaro for all the help and the work that he has done in guiding us and directing us and helping us to understand this project and what's all involved and engaging us from the very beginning. He's done an outstanding job with that. But one of the concerns that we have is that once the project is approved and construction starts, the excavation of the area, cleaning and getting ready for the construction, it's going to disturb the natural habitat of the animals that's in this particular area. Mr. Fisher and I were just talking the other day that we have seen bobcats, we've seen wolves in that area, and we are concerned that at some point that needs to be addressed because we have children walking to school there, and that would certainly be harmful to them. I see the orange light, and I have two other concerns, please. The other concern we have is that, and I'm pretty sure this will be dealt with in another form, the scrap metal plant there that's abutting this new project. We are very opposed to that particular project there, so we want to be sure that that's gone because when that new project comes into fruition, it's going to be unsightly, and not only that, it's environmentally dangerous to the community. So we want to address that one once it comes to your attention. And the final thing I wanted to say is that we want to be sure that we all engaged, that entire community is engaged at the very beginning and through the end of this project. And that has to do with not only what we're doing now, but the employment, being sure that people living in that community have opportunity for employment, both from the bottom to the top and from top to bottom. And not just to mention construction and maintenance, this kind of thing, but everything else involved. And then finally, let me just say before I go, is that how about the Mavericks? We want to be sure that the Mavericks spur those Spurs and send them back down to San Antonio to walk the water.
So moved.
Thank you, Ms. Watkins, Mr. Mayor, and the Council. Good afternoon. This is a wonderful day in our neighborhood, Cedar Crest Country Club Estates and East Oak Cliff. This zoning, after a couple months of meeting with the One Degree Properties LLP with Joe Cavanaugh and his team, meeting in January and February, the community overwhelmingly supports this. The zoning request with this one, with the project One Degree Dallas. One Degree is a new addition to the neighborhood. One Degree is a street, and I'm going to be people know right from Magna Vista, One Degree Way. And that's where it got its name from, the One Degree of Dallas skyline from Magna Vista. One Degree Dallas will only enhance our entire neighborhood with the existing single-family homes, multi-family units, opening green space, our recreation facilities, the trails, Seacrest Golf Course, the Trent River Greenbelt, our natural terrain, our scenic views for our floodplains. As Mr. Trey stated, wildlife. There's wildlife down up in there, different types of species of birds and other animals. With this opportunity, it would create opportunity housing, retail, recreation, economic development, and office complex. And this would be the largest office corporate relocation that we were told most of the treatment companies, 800 employees, would be relocating into our community. So that would be the largest corporate relocation in this part of town since the VA hospital. So this is a great opportunity for the community. Says a lot. Also, the community benefits. The One Degree Property will be partnering with the Neighborhood Association as supporting and working with us with our initiative, our education partnership with Regent Brown Miller, J.P. Sharp Elementary School, R.W. Holmes Miller School, Franklin D. Roosevelt High School, and Paul Quinn College as a community partnership, education partnership. Then we partnered with, they helped us partner with the Dallas Parks and Recreation, with J.C. Phelps with the Older Fitness Center addition, the trail and open space enhancements and recreation programming. Also partnered with Dallas Housing Authority. There are two apartment complexes located right neighboring to this location. They will be working with them as well. We've had to meet with Tim Locke with Dallas Housing Authority. Also also the economic opportunity. Jobs, white collar jobs, as I came to this council a couple months ago by putting white collar jobs in our community. So this would be a chance to have this move with them coming in as plus as attracting other people into the community. For instance, like TXU, we know we call customer service, we get a call out, you either contact somebody in South America or over in India. It'd be a good opportunity that TXU can relocate one of the college centers here in our neighborhood and for this project. Also, we're looking at the partnering with the library, Paul Lawrence Dunbar, because we do cultural events.
Why don't you take a couple seconds to try to wrap it up?
This is a win-win for the community. We do support this, as the council supports this, and also as the 5% of the jobs created right there for the immediate impact for the neighbors that impact the community. So we look forward to the council having this final support along with our councilmen. So I want to thank Councilwoman Davis, our planning commissioner, and the residents, all the residents of Cedar Crest Country Club Estate that support this project and the Wonderview Property Management Team. Thank you.
We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to this recommendation from the City Planning Commission? Is anyone in favor? Okay.
I'm Mayor Leopard, Mayor Pro Tem Carraway, Ms. Medrano, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem in her absence, to all the councils, everyone assembled here, those who can see and hear me via any other media, buenos tardes. My name is Trina Trish. I reside at 1818 Corsicana, which is a temporary housing facility until I'm able to move forward. I would like to say that I am in agreement with the economic development of this area. I think that it is a proactive development and that the council should be thanked for foreseeing such an endeavor. Let me say that there's this one thing that I was reading at lunchtime when we broke, and that was in Luke 13 when the nobleman called to his servants and he gave them something. He gave them 10 minnows, and he said, do business till I come. What he said was, I'm giving you something. Now you go ahead and do business till I come. I'm grateful. I would only hope that utilizing local residents, local contractors, and also being proactive in minority business developments will come together in this project. Again, I say gracias to everyone involved.
Thank you.
Anyone else who would like to speak? Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Kelly, please.
Thank you, Mayor. This is a great day, and I think Ms. Davis and I will be exchanging compliments to one another for the hard work and the vision. And Ms. Davis, thank you for all that you have done and will continue to do with Wonderview. Wonderview sits right there in District 7, and then you have District 4. And it is remarkable that Mark Cuban has chosen the area to come and to put his money where his mouth and his heart is. Joe, a lot is on your shoulders, and we are depending on you. I'll go down the list on some of the things. When we first built Cedar Crest, Mr. Trailer, and thank you for being here, Mr. King, and Mr. Fisher. Good to see you there, sir, and Ms. Trina, and all of you. When we built the clubhouse at Cedar Crest, we disturbed the habitat, and I live right at the golf course. And trust me, I've never had rats in my home. But after we started cutting down the trees and the rodents started running everywhere, you would think that it's just a little mice, but these were rats. And this rat was so
large that I was afraid of the rat. And I went and bought all types of glue traps where you think that you'd have to have just a couple. I went and bought about 15 or 20 because I put them every single angle where no one, I had to step over myself. And I share this story because it's a true story and in compliments of what Mr. Trello was talking about the wildlife and disturbing it, because they're going to run somewhere. And thank goodness I just had the rats and maybe a couple of armadillos or something and some possums. But in that area where this wonderful Wonderview project is going to be built, it used to be the Keith's Drive-In. And behind the Keith's Drive-In, my brother and I would go fishing down in the little ravine, the little gravel pit. So it's a lot of history there for me. Knowing that area and growing up there, it is something that we have longed and dreamed for, to have an opportunity to have this type of development welcomed into our community. The things that you talked about, Mr. Trailer, about the scrap metal. Granted, there's negative stuff that's out on me because I don't want them there, as you don't. I don't care what they choose to write. They're writing today about that, okay? But I have a right and a responsibility to stand up for my community and the constituents that I represent. I have to utilize this platform to somewhat sometimes rebut some of the stuff that's coming out, because we too in the Oak Cliff area and all over the southern sector, we deserve to have thoroughfares and strips just as they have in Lower Greenville, Greenville Avenue, McKinney Avenue, Lemon Avenue, Cedar Springs, Beltline. Why is it that we have to sit back and accept the scrap metal yard and they're not in those areas? Now, granted, we want to be extremely fair, but we want to make sure that when a development such as Wonderview and when a developer such as Mark Cuban is coming over and the new light is beginning to shine in our community, it's our responsibility not just to build and rebuild and bring about new opportunities and new hope in an area, but to make sure that approaching that area, when you come across that Martin Luther King Bridge, that on your way to Wonderview, you can stop at a Chili's or a restaurant or a movie theater or a bank building or some type of shopping strip of quality, and not one that a particular environment is prohibiting. And I will fight to the end to make sure that at some point while I'm serving here that we will have an opportunity to enjoy the same things north as we should have south. I'm going to do that, and I want to make sure that the things that are out there today, and I know they're there today, and the folks are hearing, and they're going to write about I went on another tirade. Good, because I am on a tirade. I'm on a tirade for my community. I'm on a tirade for a better quality of life and the best things that we can offer our citizens in our community. It should not be that, and as long as I'm breathing, I'm going to fight it. Now, with that being said, I took care of the rats, took care of the scrap metal. We need to, Joe, talk about the jobs and the procurement and the opportunity for the participation of people that live in the area, that live in the area, so that folks can be provided jobs and opportunity. We have a lot of cleanup to do over there. This is something that your company will be able to fan out to other companies. Hopefully, you'll be extremely sensitive and willing to allow folks to come in and participate. I have no doubt that you will.
When we're cleaning up, if there's trash needs to be picked up, if there's buildings that need to be built, if there's masonry work that needs to be done, plumbing, electrical, whatever it is, we just simply want to ask you to be very considerate in making sure that the people that live around now have their hands involved, because when people are involved, they have a greater responsibility to appreciate. And if they are a part of building, then 20 years from now, they will also be a part of making sure that that area is well taken care of and respected. That's the long way around saying, hire the community, you know what to do, and we're pulling for you. Certainly, we appreciate you. We appreciate Mark Cuban. The naysayers, what I want to do with the naysayers is wrap our arms around this project and let the naysayers see. Put it right in the naysayers' eyes. A beautiful, wonderful project, a new revitalized community, the Dallas Mavericks themselves locating in our part of town, and the hope that more can come from such a very bold move that's highly appreciated by way of me, by way of Ms. Davis, by way of this council, this city, and as Mr. Traylor closed, and I will too, we do have to say go Mavericks. Now they better hurry up and come on with it. Now they got to beat San Antonio so we can get it to 3-3. We're pulling for them, and I hope that we're victorious. But just want to say those things. Thank you, Mayor, for letting me go so long. You're just so nice. I know you're just doing this because it's my birthday.
That's right.
But thank you all so very much. And I'll
only
just
41.
That's right. I only turned 41. That's right.
Actually, he's practicing that quite a bit.
but thank you so very much. Thank you,
Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mayor. First of all, I just want to thank a number of people who worked with me on this. First of all, I'd like to thank Mayor Lefford. He worked with me on some things. I want to thank you. I want to thank Mr. Caraway. Brought him in very early, and he supported me on this and worked with me. I want to thank Ann Bagley. I want to thank, once again, Teresa O'Donnell, who worked with me and her staff. I want to thank the Neighborhood Association, Mr. Michael King. Thank you, Michael. And thank you, Mr. Traylor. Thank you, Mr. Fisher, and everyone who came out to the meeting. I want to thank my staff while I was at the National League of Cities. Mr. Kingham had a meeting over in that area, and my staff attended on my behalf, and I want to thank you. Joe, can you come down, please? I just want to just make sure some of the concerns that Mr. Traylor and Michael, some of those concerns. The first one, and before I go on to approve, asking for support of this, they talked about once we start messing with the habitat and all that stuff in the area, what do you plan to do about some of the wildlife that they talked about?
We will, and there is wildlife. There's more than folks might believe. There's a big old bull over there, Texas Longhorn, that's been there for years. I've seen foxes, seen coyotes, seen a couple of bobcats. Wildlife of every kind. What we intend to do is work with the SPCA of Texas in regards to capturing those animals and providing new homes for them. I've had more calls on that bull than I can shake a stick at. A lot of folks would like to have him, but we do have plans to work with the SPCA, use their resources and their capabilities to help clear the wildlife that needs to be relocated. We're talking about, obviously, the wildlife. And we will then work with exterminators and things of that nature to prepare the area for the rats, things of this nature. It's not gone without notice that has to be done, Mr. Caraway. We go and disturb 200 acres, things are going to start running, and we have plans to take care of that. It is a concern for ours. For safety, for sanitary reasons, and of course, to eradicate that 200-acre site so that we can get about the business of building the project. So we have thought of it. We do know about the wildlife. One of the first stories Mr. Carraway shared with me was some of his fishing exploits and some of the wildlife over there. So it was brought to our attention early on, and when we were out there some of the very first days 4 years ago doing the original environmental testing, we ran into that bull, and he got all of our attention quick. So we will be taking care of that. We don't look at it as something that is just going to take care of itself. It was part of our plan.
And can you talk just a little about, we're going to continue to work on job opportunities.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, within that community. And we're going to continue to make sure that people who live in that community are looked at first. Not only looked at, but to kind of educate and train people who might lack skills in that community. Are you willing to work with them?
Yes, ma'am. As you and I and others have discussed on numerous occasions, our goal, without being prompted even to do so, is to develop a staff. Of course, we're having, one of the good things here is we have to develop our staff almost from scratch. So that gives us the opportunity all up and down the line to bring in a diverse group of individuals with varying expertise levels, mm-hmm. varying expertises across the board, and I'm not talking about just construction, but project management, mentorship, setting up the charitable foundation, and all of that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And you will see, and I'll commit to you in public, and will continue to commit to you, that we will have the most diverse staff that we possibly can have. Our goal is to have extensive minority participation, again, all across the board. At least 40% of the jobs created will be in the area of minority involvement, if not more. And I'm talking about unskilled labor that needs to be mentored, that needs to be taught the trades. We will have lots of opportunity for those folks, all the way up through and including our management staff. My key staff members, both for the foundation and for the actual construction and the development side, we already are interviewing candidates for those jobs, and I can tell you those candidates live in the neighborhood. We are committed to that goal. We want that goal as much as you do. Because we believe, and I forget if it was Mayor Carraway or Mayor Pro Tem Carraway or Mr. Traylor that said it, we want to involve the neighborhood not only in the planning and the development, if you will, of the project, but also in the partaking of the benefits of it, the job creation, etc. Because I too believe that if you have a hand in bringing it about and building it, you're going to be proud of it, and you're going to bend over backwards to make darn sure it's taken care of. So we look at this as, this is not the end. A lot of people say, you know, this is the end of a long road for you. This is not the end. This is the very first day of that road. This was kind of the easy part. Now we've got the real work to do.
Right.
And as I've talked to Mr. Traylor, Mr. King, Mr. Fisher, yourselves, Mr. Carraway, we're going to work together from this day forward. We look at it as a 10-year build-out, and by golly, 10 years from now, we'll still be working together to make this a success. You have my word on that. You have Mr. Cuban's word on that.
Thank you. Also, just say that, Teresa, can you come up, please? Teresa, with you and Joe there, I just want you to talk a little about the MU3 and some of the changes that we made within the MU3.
Mm-hmm. The MU3 is a zoning district that allows mixed use and primarily residential, which wasn't allowed in the previous zoning on this case, and because of the mixed use nature, it would be necessary for that change to occur.
Okay, thank you so much. And we made sure that the neighborhood would be protected with this. We put some SUPs in place, so I just want to let the neighborhood know that. Also, Ms. Carraway and I are going to be working with Ms. Medrano to talk about the metal company that's on Cedar Crest. because we have some other metal companies here in the city that we have worked with for the one on industrial. And then I have some metal companies on Lamar that I'm working with Mr. Ron Gatinsky on to try to resolve some of those issues. So we will continue to work with that to resolve those issues. But I just want to say thank you. And now I would like to move this item 66 forward for approval.
It's been moved and seconded. I would just like to add a
I'm sorry, ma'am.
You keep going?
No, I'm finished.
No, I was just going to make a couple of comments. Again, thank you to Ms. Davis for her work. I got a chance to work with her on this a little bit. Two points to be made. One, I think this is an important investment. Now, I will tell you that there's other investments that have been made that unfortunately haven't received kind of the same visibility on it. Largely because of the individuals that involved. Now, the flip side to that is because of the visibility, this sends a signal that indeed investments in this part of our community are important. They're being made. Good investors that are well respected in our community are making them. So I think this is an important step, and again, it builds on several others. I would also point out that there are some unusual elements of this. Where, to be truthful with you, we're bending and kind of going in some unusual ways, which is exactly what we should be expected to do to make things happen and work with business people in our community. The premise on making those is that this is a long-term effort. The sort of things that are being done are not designed to be flips. We've had the assurances from the owner and his team that indeed they're in it for the long term. They want to see this development. And when people are willing to make investments like that and commitments, then we ought to be willing to look at variances and look at different things to do. And indeed, that's exactly what it was. So I think this is positive in a number of different ways. Again, I think it signals not only the importance of the investment, but people who want to make commitments will do very different things and work with them to make those things happen. With that, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, our afternoon speakers.
Thank you.
Our
afternoon speakers will start first with Jewel Floyd. And while Ms. Floyd is coming forward, let me recite the rules for speaking. Citizens and other visitors attending city council meetings shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the city council. Any person making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the city council, or while addressing the city council meeting, shall be removed from the room if the sergeant at arms is so directed by the presiding officer. And the person shall be barred from further audience before the city council during that session of the city council. You have 3 minutes to speak. When you see the amber light, that means you have 30 seconds, and the red light means stop. Ms. Floyd.
Good afternoon. It's been a long time, but I'm back. First, I want to address a question to Mrs. Pauline Medrano. Mrs. Medrano, you don't have to answer now, but answer me, please. Why haven't you been, getting back with us with our email? We've been emailing you because you are over East Dallas, and we have a lot of questions to ask you. So if you would be so kind enough to get with us, if you want to set up a meeting with us, we'll get a lot of people together because all of these people right here, we are very concerned because they're trying.
Let me interject. You are welcome to make any comments, but they need to be directed at me, not at me.
Okay.
So you can direct them at me, and you're welcome to do that, but it needs to be directed at me.
Okay. Okay, you're the big boss. Okay. Well, Mr. Merrill, we can get with you also. Because we are really, really concerned because some of these people over here have one home, and you all are trying to take them through eminent domain. For they say O.M. Roberts, but now me and my husband have some papers from O.M. Roberts that you want to build O.M. Roberts School. But some of my workers just right across the street, you got Ray Hunt Sr. That's going to be the school name. Now, we want to know, well, what is it? Because this is not right. They're saying the school going to be Ray Hunt. That's what they want the land for, Ray Hunt. Now, and then they're saying O.M. Roberts. So we would like to have some clarification on that. Because that's not right. And I don't see, I mean, I sat there and I was so impressed on you all. Just, Cedar Crest this and Cedar Crest that. Those people have money and more than probably one home. These people don't have one home over here. When you give them $45,000, where are they going to move? They can't move anywhere. They can't buy another house. They can't do anything. So if you would be so kind enough to think about these people over these dollars, that the land is very, very, very valuable. We know that. I know it. And I have let them see that it's very valuable. 2 miles from downtown Dallas. You want to put D-Bella and all of that into it and take it away from us. I mean, some of us, we're not dumb people. We're very, very smart. So we would like to get together with you and Mrs. Davis and Mrs. McDonough and you. We would like to get with you all and give us some answers, give us some questions. Because, you know, I'm really, really thinking about, they need to open those cells back up and put some of you all in those cells. Because you all are not doing right. You all are doing wrong.
Let me just, and I think any of the individuals that you mentioned would be happy to meet with you, but I will tell you that I don't think those meetings are going to be fruitful, and let me explain why. The issues that you are raising are out of separate governmental body, and that's the Dallas Independent School District. It's the Dallas Independent School District that has the powers that you indicated, and they are also the ones that are making decisions on locations of schools. That is a complete and separate body. Now, again, welcome to meet with anybody on this council, but the issues and the decision makers aren't on this council. The issues and decision makers are the Dallas Independent School District. So my suggestion to you, if you want to, again, get to the people that are going to make the decision and I assume are walking down this path, are going to be the board members of the Dallas Independent School District and staff of the Dallas Independent School District, because we don't have a connection with them. They are a separate governmental body. They have the powers that you identified. So, again, I think anybody would be happy to visit with you, but it's not going to be a fruitful meeting in the sense that we can do anything about it. I just wanted to be frank with you so that you understand. This is really the wrong body to be with. You need to see who are the relevant representatives of the Dallas Independent School District, and then my suggestion is go explain your concerns the same way you have to us, but they're going to be the ones that are taking the actions that you're concerned about.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. No, you all, none of you all around this horseshoe have anything to do with it.
We don't do the schools.
Okay. Okay. Well, you all are to make them tell the truth, can't you? You're going to have the school Ray Hunt Sr. or O.M. Roberts.
And that's a perfect example. The name of the schools will be made by the Dallas Independent School District Board. We do not deal with any street names. You can come talk to us. We don't do schools.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
Our next speaker is Esteve Salinas, followed by Maribel Salinas.
Good afternoon, Mayor, and good afternoon, Councilman.
Pull the mic just a little bit closer to you.
I'm Norma Hernandez, and I'm interpreting for Ms. Maribel Salinas, who resides at 4930 Gurley. We are also residents of East Dallas and are affected by DISD. And we come to you in desperation because we heard what you just said. We know that, you know, DISD is their own separate entity, but we've tried to contact the superintendent, Tina Hosman. We've tried to contact our board member, Ms. Bernadette Nuttall. We're not successful. They've conducted a couple of meetings, but we did not come to a resolution. We're here in desperation to save our neighborhood and to save our school. It's 101 years old. It's just been $2.6 million, which is spent in renovating the school. Now they tell us they want to tear it down. We are in opposition of that because this is a historical neighborhood. Some of the residents here have been in the neighborhood for almost close to 60 years. Some of them are the founders, the first African Americans in our neighborhood, and we want to preserve that. DISD is not listening to our cries for help. We've done everything we could So that's why we're here, to get advice. We think you as the mayor maybe could guide us on somebody else other than Mr. Hinojosa that could help us or speak with us so we can continue.
Let me do this. As we finish, give me a name and a number, and let me at least refer you to Bernadette.
I have Bernadette's email, her cell number. She has mine, and she is not contacting me back. It's very imperative that we get with her soon, because last Thursday we went before the board, and the board approved resolution for purchases of more properties on these streets. So we need to speak with her. It is very imperative.
I'd be happy to reference it to Bernadette if you want to do that. Ms. Hosso, maybe you have some other suggestions.
I just wanted to thank you all for coming down here. I know I see this gentleman who had a little trouble coming downstairs.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming and at least letting us hear your voices. I grew up in Dallas. I was born and raised here.
Yes.
And I tell the story that when I was 8 years old, my father, who was also born and raised in Dallas, had to take our trash on our block because the city of Dallas would not pick up the trash on our block.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, we were in Oak Cliff back in the 50s, so it wasn't, you know, it was still very, very much a part of the city. So I understand how you feel about not having access. My father did not know he could pick up the phone and call a city council member and say, please have someone come get our trash. So I understand your frustration of not having access.
Yes.
Estoy aquí para decirle que entiendo. Que ya sé cómo se sienten cuando no pueden tener acceso a las personas que les pueden ayudar. I know what it feels like not to have access mm-hmm. to the people who can most help you. So I would like to at least offer my help to, I don't know Ms. Nuttall, but I do know Mr. Hinojosa.
Yes.
And I would more than be willing to call him and arrange yes. some sort of meeting with you all.
We would be honored to meet with Mr. Hinojosa and express, because as you saw, this is my father, Rolando Lozano. Ms. Sean Bazzari's brother is also disabled. We have several veterans. We have seniors in the neighborhood, and these seniors are only offering, and residents are only being offered minimal compensation.
Right.
It's not about the money, because we don't want to move. We love our neighborhood. Our neighborhood is home to us. We were raised there. We
yes.
went to O.M. Roberts. We want to save our school.
Well, I think the main thing is to get your access to someone mm-hmm. who can help you. I'm not guaranteeing anything.
I
only guarantee you that, you know, the access is the most important thing, and,
yes.
and I will definitely help you make that happen with Mr. Hinojosa.
I think Ms. Hosso's right. Maybe after this, you and I could get on the phone and at least facilitate a meeting, and maybe we can kind of go both different ways. We'll go to the staff, and then we'll go to the board members. So if you would, let's make sure one of us has kind of name and numbers and that sort of thing.
Yes,
we can certainly try to facilitate.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
And I'll tell you, I think, knowing this not all, I would be willing to say she would be willing to meet
yes.
with you, and maybe the communication just hasn't gotten, and again, maybe
yes.
Ms. Hosmer and I can help on that. So
I will say, Mayor Limpert, that Ms. Nuttall was very cooperative. Back in March the 8th, we met with her, and she helped me coordinate a meeting on March the 30th where we met with Phil Jimerson, the person that's in charge of the construction. And I've kind of been in contact off and on with her, and she told me that after the board meeting on the 22nd, we would meet again. And we are, like I said, it's very imperative. We are kind of on a time frame, and that's why we need to speak with her and Mr. Hinojosa.
Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you, Mayor. You know, I was at Senator West's community meeting.
Yes, you were very helpful.
Senator West and I had a town hall meeting,
yes.
and they had some frustration that they were talking to the senator about. And Ms. Medrano, I gave the information to Ms. Medrano to get, and so I think her staff did return your
yes.
call you back. And so I'm just hoping that you guys can work
yes.
this out within your neighborhood. I know and I understand that you don't want to lose your home. So hopefully my colleagues and the mayor will work with you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And like I said, our main goal is to save our neighborhood. That's what we really want to do. We don't feel that there is a need for a new school.
No. We have that.
Our next speaker is Maribel Salinas.
Thank you.
Maribel Salinas.
This is me.
Is Ms. Maribel Salinas here? That is Maribel. Okay. Our next speaker is Rick Gonzalez. Mr. Gonzalez. Next speaker is Zumba. William Hopkins.
Mr. Mayor,
thank you all for being with us. We're adjourned.
At 1:58 p.m.